Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
And you can notice that we're both dressed like Venetian blinds tonight.
Well, because it's Venetian night.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
So, see, that's... you think we don't plan this show?
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
That is the deal. Aren't we celebrating the invention of the Venetian blind?
No doubt, yes. And everyone's decorating their boat, and there's going to be fireworks.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah. Actually, it sent me to Google to find out, why do we call those blinds Venetian blinds? It was 1794 when horizontal slats became window blinds, and they were originally used in Venice, Italy. Hence the name Venetian blinds. Something that, you know, you probably say throughout your lifetime, but I've never stopped to ask why.
See, so you've already learned something. So
I can go home.
So our work here is done.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it is Venetian nights, and it's a very big deal. So there's a lot of traffic downtown. But there's also this little concert going on over in Soldier Field. Right, Bob Fukuda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you're coming in from the south, so you had to go by Soldier Field.
I had to go way out of my way just to get away from it.
Yep, because it's a big one. It's George Strait, Chris Stapleton.
And Little Big Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where Krista, Ace Engineer, is tonight, right?
And for those of you who may be new to our class, Bob Fukuda is the keeper of the big plug.
Yep.
Yes.
And Ron Brown is over in the newsroom. Hey, Ron.
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, good.
And Julian, on the other side of the glass, you never heard of Venetian night? How long have you been living in Chicago?
About 30 years.
You never heard of Venetian night?
Nope.
So, 1958 is when Venetian nights started in Chicago. And, Ron, we were talking about the fact that they did stop them for a couple of years. So, this might be new to some people.
Right. Yeah. On its webpage, it says it's the fourth annual Venetian night.
Ah.
So, it's been back, I guess, for 4 years now.
Yeah, because I was telling Steve that it must have been the anniversary of the moon landing. My recollection of Venetian nights in 1977, because I saw the most amazing fireworks display ever in my life. And I've seen Disney fireworks displays. Mm-hmm. But what I saw that night for Venetian nights was some fireworks went up in the air and made the moon. And then something went up in the air and a man walked on that moon. These were all fireworks.
That's incredible.
It was incredible.
Wow.
1977. I was not drinking. I was 17.
I was not going to ask, but it was on my mind.
But in fact, if anybody else remembers seeing that, because I've told people and they look, yeah, but that was really interesting. And they use that tone of voice like, oh, okay, well, maybe I can get out of here.
But I think that the technology they used has been around for a long time, because I was telling you, I can recall going to the Lansing Old Timers 4th of July picnic. Now, this would have been late 40s, early 50s. Didn't see a moonwalk thing, but saw a really cool display of stars and flags kind of waving and stuff like that.
Isn't that amazing?
And this would have been back in the late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of firework technology has been around for a while?
It would have to be, yeah.
If you saw it.
Yeah.
And you weren't drinking at 6 or 7, so...
And Bob is nodding, so you helped invent that technology, Bob?
No. I'm not that old.
We all look young on the radio. And I'm feeling good tonight because I did not melt getting in here. We had to go to Florida to take care of some things that were that couldn't wait until the fall.
Right.
It was so darn hot.
Every day. Now, we were there for a total of roughly a week and a half.
Oh,
literally,
gosh.
Every day the heat index was at least 110.
It was 90 when we got to the radio station last week. At 10 o'clock, it was still 90 degrees.
The water temperature was
89.
Yeah.
And they said it's just continuing to go. From the time we got there, the water temperature was 85. It had already gone up 4 degrees in a week.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's easily going to go into the 90s. I'm like, okay, maybe the sharks are ticked off because it's really, really, I mean, that's hot.
You think?
When you have to get out of the water to cool off, it's not good. But we did tie up all those loose ends and went to the dentist, got our hair cut, all those important things.
All the important things, yeah.
Yes.
And we'll be taking you back down to Florida probably the late part of September.
Yes.
And we'll be back down there till about the 1st of November.
Right. Best time of the year to be there.
But then we're coming. While we're down there for that roughly month, for 3 days we're coming back here,
mm-hmm.
because that's when we're going to be inducting Susie Boggess into the Illinois Hall of Fame at the Rock and Roll Museum.
Yep. That is so cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. She is just extraordinary.
Ron, do you work on Sunday nights?
I do.
Oh, because I was going to say, you have to join us that night for the concert, because it's going to be a biggie.
Oh, yeah. Who else is playing besides
Richard Marks is there.
Wow. Richard Marks. George Thorogood is going to come in. He's doing a tribute to Bo Diddley.
Wow.
Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a great lineup right
it
there.
It is, and it's a really interesting one. You say, well, I don't like this kind of music. Stick around.
Stick around.
Yeah, there's going to be something new.
Oh, yeah.
And a little later tonight, we're going to be talking with Ron Romero, who's the founder of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. And we're going to talk about the 24 Hall of Fame inductee ceremony and some of the, sadly, the tornado damage that they had.
Yeah.
Ron, are we right? Did we hear the statistic was this past week there were more tornadoes in Illinois in the past week than there were in the previous year?
It sounds about right. There were a lot of tornadoes, and the number just kept going up. I can't remember the last number that there was.
Yeah.
But there were over a dozen, I mean, for sure. I mean,
and in the city, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always raised to, you're safe in the city because tornadoes don't come into the city.
We've always heard that.
Yep, and they sure do. But microbursts, of course, because we had one of those right on our block a couple of years ago,
which was
pretty terrifying. And we got so lucky. We flew in last Monday afternoon.
Oh, boy, were we lucky.
Yeah.
Because Sunday night, there was nasty weather.
Saturday night.
Then Sunday night, it was kind of nasty. We got a break on Monday, flew and got a direct flight from Panama City Beach into Chicago, landed, got home, and a couple hours after we got home, all hell broke loose.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a whole bunch of things to do tonight. A whole lot of people that are going to be talking with us on the radio, and Steve Dawson's coming in here with his guitar.
Yeah, got a great new album out called Ghost. He's going to perform some of the songs from Ghost. And we got a lot of things, and we'll tell you what those things are after we take a break. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
That is a great song intro.
Oh, it is. Should we try to talk up to it?
Go ahead. Kiss that post.
Let's see. Because this was in the 70s when Santana had...
Got a black magic woman.
I should have given it another bar. That would have been tighter.
Yeah. Kiss on the Post. That's
Santana,
a good choice.
Santana has had some great stuff.
What prompted that, Julian? It was Dealer's Choice for that first tune.
Well, you know, I like to kind of honor people on their birthdays. Today is his 77th birthday.
It is.
And he's still touring, I believe.
Yes.
I thought that guitar sounded familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As I recall, he was playing a...
He is Carlos Santana.
Yeah, Carlos Santana playing a...
a Gibson.
Is a Gibson Les Paul, one of the double cutaways that Les never liked because he said you could hurt yourself on those...
Because of the weight
on the horns of that thing. No, but just because it...
Oh, because of it looked like horns.
Almost like devil's horns.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. All right, here we are in July. I feel like summer is... Am I the only one that feels like summer is slipping through their fingers? I cannot believe that next week we're the last weekend of July. I know. Deal with it. It happens when you get old, right?
Well, it happens when you're young, too. I mean, it's the same year.
No,
it's the same
when I was
month.
Young, I can remember sitting on the front porch going, oh, when is it going to be September so I can go back to school? This is so boring.
And... Again, proving that opposites attract, I was on the opposite side of that coin.
Oh, man, I was
because
bored.
Because when it got to September, I was so depressed. Oh, I've only got a couple more days. I'm going to go back to school.
Bob, did you like school? Yay or nay? No.
No.
Okay. Julian, yay or nay?
No.
No? Oh.
Gosh,
see,
no.
See, both of them, right-thinking Americans.
Oh, stay in school, kids.
I would literally sit on the front porch. I would wake up too early because I'd go to bed too early. So I'd wake up and the sun would be coming up and I would just go sit on the front porch and think, well, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I got a lot more of these days ahead of me. This is so boring.
And one of the happiest days of my year was at that time, I think it was June 23rd. Only a half day of school. School gets out and I got a whole summer ahead of me. Yay!
Yeah. And I was the kid standing on the corner crying, please don't make me give this up, please. Oh, and you know, I just remembered my 8th grade reunion is happening right now.
That's right. So you want to do a shout out?
Any of my LaSalle Elementary School, 8th grade class, 1969, they should be at Lou Malnati's about right now. They were all gathering at Lou's. And I said, when you get in the car, turn on the radio, because some of the people came in from Oregon, from Kansas, and a bunch of them still live locally. So it's really nice. It's one of the good things about Facebook is we've been able to reconnect. And that was a lifetime ago. The school is still there. And it's very active in kind of keeping track of the people who graduated from the school.
That's very cool. By the way, before we broke, we said we'd run down who and what is going to happen tonight. In a few minutes, we're going to introduce you to a wonderful lady. She has been a longtime listener of ours, and we really appreciate that. But more importantly, she was the first dispatcher for the Hoffman Estates Fire Department.
And she just had a birthday. We wanted to get her on the radio to wish her a happy 106th birthday.
Her name is Alice Selke, and we'll talk to her after the news. Then a little later, Ron Romero, the founder of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66. We're going to talk with him about the 2024 Hall of Fame inductees ceremony and tornado damage, sadly. And again, sadly, we're going to talk with the showbiz machino, Gino Salamone about the sad news about Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
What a talent. Then speaking of talent, Steve Dawson, who you have heard on this show for many years as a part of Dolly Varden.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dolly Parton, Dolly Varden. Wonderful group. And Steve has a new solo album, a terrific album called Ghost. And then a little later, Dr. Patrick Crispin, we're going to talk about, well, guess what? The Microsoft CrowdStrike IT outage.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's still wreaking
still
havoc.
Going on. Yeah.
And something called Grok.
Grok?
Grok, Grok.
Yeah, it's weird. It has to do with AI, but he'll explain all of that to us.
And more of an AT&T problem.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And also at some point, we're going to segue into a fun day that Johnny had this week. Jury duty.
I tried to be a juror. I really did, because I felt that it was my civic duty. Because mm-hmm. I've always said to you, if I ever end up on the other side of the law, I would hope that we could get a jury of my peers.
Mm-hmm.
It was the longest. It truly was the longest day of my life. It was 10 hours of pretty intense interviewing.
Yeah.
Of all of us, there were 40 of us, and we weren't just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. There were a lot of questions that were happening because it was a big case, mm-hmm. and I was not chosen as a juror. Only 3 of the 40 were chosen.
And it was you said that was the second day of jury selection.
Yeah, first day, only one person was chosen out of 40. Yeah. And the case was going to go on till the 7th of August.
And without going into details,
oh, man.
I guess we can share that it apparently is a multi-million dollar case.
It's not the Madigan case.
No.
It's not that one, but it's a big case. And there was a team of 7 attorneys, and every one of them wanted to talk to the potential jurors. And then on the flip side, there was a team of 3. And they just kind of laid back and let the other team do all of the questioning. So it was quite a day. It was lovely in the Daily Plaza. That was nice. I hadn't been there forever.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of the Daily Plaza as I came down. I was going to I dropped Johnny off in the morning, then in the evening, because she was supposed to be let out at 4:30. So rather than an Uber or anything, I was there by 4:30. And for the next roughly hour and a half, driving around the Daily Plaza
yes.
while they were finally deciding which jurors were. Literally an hour. And I got a really yeah. good view of Channel 2's newsroom, and I could yeah. see the new headlines every time I came around
yes.
the block.
Wow. Another 5 minutes have passed.
Yeah.
And I'd send you a text, and they say, it's still no decision made. And at 5 o'clock, they turned the AC off in the building. So that got to be real interesting, too, because people started going, am I the only one that's feeling a little close
and I'm sorry, that's cruel and unusual punishment for the jurors and potential jurors.
Yes. Well, anyway, it was a learning experience. I'd like to share more with you, and we'll do that later on tonight. We got a lot of ground to cover. We hope that you will stay with us right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Love that song, Angel Eyes. And that's appropriate for the lady we're going to talk to. And we're excited to talk to her because we know she's been listening to us for a long time, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
But she also played a significant role in a suburban fire department, and
right.
she also had a significant birthday recently.
Well, kind of, sort of. She is Ms. Alice Selke. And Ms. Alice, how are you tonight?
Hey, Alice.
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. Well, please tell our audience, what was this little birthday that you celebrated the other day?
Well, I was born in 1918, and I am now 106 years old.
Oh, God bless you. Oh,
how
my.
Cool.
Did you have a good birthday?
You know, that's just your number.
Yes. Amen. Yep. Absolutely. Now, you had a big birthday because the reason I found out about you was there was a little bit of a recognition by the fire department out in Hoffman Estates. Right, Alice?
Oh, yes. That's my fire department. Yeah. They came here and they parked their cars in the street and all came in to see me.
That's wonderful.
Because I used to be the dispatcher.
Right.
And are we correct that you were the very first dispatcher, and when you were doing that, originally it was out of your home? Are we correct in that?
Yeah, it was all in my house. In my utility room, I had my phone, and when anybody had problems, they would call. I would pick up the phone and get their address and write it down on the board, and then I'd pick up another phone and notify all the firemen where it was, where the fire was, or whatever it was.
Wow.
It usually was a washer dryer. Fire.
Oh, or maybe a kitchen fire. But I bet, again, Hoffman Estates was a growing community then, so I'm sure that...
Well, when we moved here, my husband, we were going to move. My husband had to go into the Army, and when he came back, he said he met a man from Arizona that was selling land. So he thought... He would put money down on some, and he'd run it by me first to see what I thought. And I said, that's your money. Do what you want. But boy, oh boy, God bless you. So he put the money down, and then we got to pick out the style we wanted, and they helped us build the house. And then we'd come out every weekend to watch them build the house.
Wow.
And I'm still living in that same house.
That wow. same house. And Alice, I see I'm looking at a picture of you, and I've been told that it's okay for us to put it on Facebook for everybody to see how wonderful you look with a fireman. It looks like a firebox on the wall behind you. Was that a gift, or what's the story behind that?
That was a gift for a friend of Carl's that was a fireman in Chicago.
So your husband was Carl.
I've got over on the other end, I have a great big bell.
Of course you do.
And it's for a gift from here.
Uh-huh.
Now.
From one of the first firemen, fire engines. But you know, when we moved here, we had no stores. We had to go to Palatine or Roselle to get our groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go up to the corner on Arizona Boulevard to get our mail.
Oh.
And our kids had to take a bus over on Parcel A to go to school.
Wow.
So now, how did you get...
And they couldn't go out and play because there was nothing but mud and clay.
Of course. Well, how did you get picked to be the first fire dispatcher?
Well, they decided that we needed a fire department. So the men all got together and decided they would start their own fire department, a volunteer fire department. So they got all the men and everything. We had to pay $25 a house to help pay for a fire truck. We were lucky we had some money to pay that.
Yeah.
So then they came to me and said, Al, you'll have to be the dispatcher. I said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you only have to do it for a while till we get going. All the other mothers work, and they have cars. You don't drive. You don't have a car, so you're the only one we can think of. And I said, I don't know how to do that. They said, well, I'll teach you. We'll all teach you. We'll help you.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I got to... Everything came in here. They even put a thing down there. I had a push, and the siren would go off.
Oh, wow.
And how many years did you do that?
The firemen would go and put the fire. But, you know, we had some pretty bad fires.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty bad calls. Really bad.
How many years did you do that?
I did it for a long, long time.
Now, Alice, isn't it true?
And the problem is, I couldn't go anywhere.
Oh, of course.
I couldn't go to the store. I couldn't go out. I had to stay in my yard.
Wow. In case someone called.
I had to be right there in case that phone rang.
Yeah.
And I would say, hop in the street's fire department.
Now, Alice, your husband was a fireman, one of the first firemen.
Well, he was one of the first firemen. Mm-hmm. And Procedos and a lot of men here, they all joined. But, you know, when my kids, my daughter was 5 and the other one was just learning to walk, if they wanted to see their father, they had to go to the fire department to see him.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, you
didn't have time to come home.
You have a son named Don, and I'm told that he was also a fireman.
He was almost 18.
Uh-huh.
And then he joined, and he was a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
But now he moved. He moved to Arizona. He lives in Arizona,
and he's listening tonight. We understand, and so let me say a happy early birthday to Don, who has a birthday coming up in just a couple of weeks.
August the 15th.
That's right. Yes, yes. Little birdie's keeping me up to date on all these things, Alice. So what is your day like now at 106 years old? You look wonderful. Do you have like a routine, something that you do every day? I mean,
No. My daughter Barbara stays here, and we get up in the morning, and we have breakfast, and my problem is I have a balance problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can balance my checkbook, but I can't balance my legs. So I have to use a walker.
Okay.
So he does a lot of the work. And my daughter, Deborah, she comes up over and does a lot of things, too. And she was out in the garage cleaning up the garage, and she ran in and said, "Mom, all the firemen are out there. All them trucks. Look at me. I look like a pig." And she ran in and combed her hair and washed up. And the firemen all came in here. And I just love them firemen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it's a wonderful picture I'm putting up on Facebook so our listeners can see you with the firemen standing behind you. But I've got to ask you, again, I'm sure you get asked this question all the time. Is there a certain diet that you're on? Is there a certain thing that you do every day that gives you this wonderful outlook on life at 106?
Because and we're not just saying this, Alice. You look wonderful.
I have a good doctor. And I do whatever he says. He tells you don't do this or don't do that, and I don't. I just listen. Why go to the doctor if you're not going to do what they tell you to do?
Okay.
Okay.
Words to live by, right? Don't bother
and
going.
I always did my own housework. I always scrubbed all my floors on my hands and knees.
Wow.
Now my knees are bothering me.
And so did you have 3 children, Alice?
I had 4. One daughter, my one daughter, Sandra, passed away. She was in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
have one grandson that I love so much. And he always worked for Rosati's Pizza.
Uh-huh.
And they told him if he saved his money and could buy an oven, they'd put him up.
Uh-huh.
Franchise. So he moved to Arizona and had a lot of pizza places there. He was coming home one night as he was checking all the places, and this lady was drunk, and she drove real fast and hit him right on.
Oh no.
And they had to pry him out of the car.
Ow.
And they had his one leg off, and he's on Facebook. His name is Scotty. And I really love him, and he works so hard trying to get walking so he can come here to see me.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, for your birthday, did you have birthday cake at least?
Not really. We had a cake. My daughter made one, and they were trying to light it with some kind of a candle. And the day before, the children I used to... take care of came to see me, and we had a little party then. See, I was home all the time, and everybody brought their kids for me to take care of because you couldn't find a babysitter.
And you were home.
Boy, I was a babysitter.
Yeah. So there was the good thing about being home all the time was you were the first one to find out if there was anything like a fire. But the bad thing was you were home all the time, so if they needed a babysitter, they came to you.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you sound just wonderful. Are you feeling good?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I had high blood pressure, but my granddaughter's a nurse, and we got it. It's okay. My problem is a balance problem.
Right.
Because I like to do my own work.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I like keeping house. I like cleaning it. And the problem is I was cleaning the kitchen. And I decided I better move. My husband always put wheels on the furniture because he knew I moved it around a lot. So I was going to move that refrigerator out.
Oh, dear.
And behind it.
Oh.
And then I had to go to the hospital because I had a rupture.
For moving the refrigerator. Oh,
Alice, I wouldn't try to move the refrigerator.
I wouldn't either. In the hospital, I mean, I didn't like it there.
Wow.
I didn't like, they give you medicine, make you think the wrong thing.
Well,
so
Alice,
I told my grandson, you come and get me out of here. I want to go home.
Yeah.
And he did, and I went home.
Alice, our doctors have always told us the problem with hospitals is there are too many sick people there.
Yeah, that's it. And if you ask me, how are you? How do you feel? Mm-hmm. You ask me that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? How do you feel?
With my hands.
Alice. I am not going to soon forget this conversation. You are.
I have grandchildren. Yeah. I have great-grandchildren. And I have great grandchildren.
Wow. God bless you. Well, so what I'm going to take from our conversation tonight is to live a long life. Don't bother going to a doctor if you're not going to listen to your doctor.
Don't try to move refrigerators.
Do not try to move the refrigerator, whatever you do.
And don't drink.
Okay. Words to live by. Alice, it's been such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much.
But Alice, before we let you go, I want to say we would like to book you for one more appearance. We want to talk to you next year after your 107th birthday. Can we do that?
Fine. Is this Johnny?
That was Steve. We look the same on the radio.
Steve, can I ask you something?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you sing more on the program? Because you have a good voice, and I like to hear you sing.
Oh, you're very sweet. I don't sing more because I don't want to chase our listeners away.
Oh, you won't. And thank you, Johnny. I like to hear you, too.
Oh, well, thank you so much for listening, Alice. We understand that through the years, you've kept us company, and it's just such a pleasure to finally meet you. And happy belated birthday, and I hope this next year is wonderful.
Well, I was doing on that fire department, I would always listen to you.
Uh-huh.
You would keep me awake, so I had to have that phone 24 hours a day.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't sleep. I had to hear that phone ring.
Yeah.
And you helped me do it.
Well, thank you so much for listening, Alice. And again, happy birthday, and feel free to join us anytime and share some words of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Bye, thank you.
Take care, hon. Bye-bye now.
What a treat.
Oh, my. 106.
I want to have as much energy as she has now. She's 106.
Oh, God bless her. I put a picture of her up on our Facebook page. So take a look at it. She's grinning from ear to ear with members of the Hoffman Estates Fire Department standing behind her because they always remember that she was their first dispatcher. And what a commitment she made. She had to be there available 24/7. That's huge.
What a cool lady.
Yeah. Living in the same house for 65 years now. Alice Selke, thank you so much for joining us tonight on WGN.
here, demon. I think you are the demon in this place where the images are born. You remember your childhood, oh, in fiery sequences.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's another dealer's choice from Julian. Is that
Stevie?
Is that Stevie Nicks?
That's Stevie and Lindsay.
Hmm.
Okay.
Heck, even Mick.
Huh. Is that from one of her recent albums?
No, this is actually from, it was released in 96. This was on the original Twister movie. It was on that soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
It's called Twisted.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Run in here real quick, if you can, before we break for the news.
Okay.
That's Julian on the other side of the glass. We want him to run in here because it is July, as I said about a half hour ago. He's literally busting through the door.
Why don't you get on that one? It's a little easier to
scoot over.
Okay.
So I said, it's July. It's slipping through our fingers. One of the things I enjoy in July is Christmas in July. And, you know, we have a Christmas commercial mm-hmm. that's playing here on WGN.
Right.
So this is for you. Oh, I should tell the truth. It was Amazon Prime Day, and I had to buy something. So I bought something for you for Christmas in July.
Should I open it now?
Bust it open.
Yeah, you should open it
now.
Okay. What you're hearing is the sound of the paper being opened.
Mm-hmm.
The box.
So I did. I bought a new phone on Prime Day.
It's a mug,
mm-hmm.
but not just any mug.
Not just any mug.
You have to take a picture. I love this mug. This is so cool.
Julian is a photographer, and the mug.
And put the top on the mug, too. It is.
is a camera lens.
And it looks just like.
And look, it's for hot or cold beverages.
This is great.
And you can take off the lens cap that looks like a glass lens, and you can put on your sippy cup top.
Oh, it has the little
sippy doohickey.
Yeah. Okay.
And also a little spoon came with it.
A spoon? Oh, my gosh. Oh, this
yes.
is so cool.
So tell me, you've got 14 mugs that look like...
This would be my third.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
And they all look a little different, too. This is a new one.
Yeah, that's... I love
the detail on the outside. If you were just walking up and you didn't know, you would think, oh, that's a camera.
I could prank somebody with this.
Sure.
Yeah.
I could throw it at them, say, hey, catch. Don't throw me your expensive lens.
Yeah. Or you've got your camera around your neck, and then you take your mug, and you start drinking out of it, and they go, ooh, that's weird. He's drinking out of his lens. That's very weird. Okay, let me get your picture real quick so we can put that on Facebook, too.
And let me put the fancy lens back on.
Again, we've got a picture of Alice Selke up on Facebook, and this would be a picture of producer Julian with his mug.
Julian's mug and his mug.
Mug, yes.
Julian mugging with his mug.
So it's a mug shot.
Oh,
yeah, but yes. Bob.
Thank you.
Somebody turn his mic off.
So Christmas in July. I gave myself a Christmas present. I bought the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra phone.
Yeah, that's supposed to arrive Sunday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And no doubt it'll be left outside on the steps,
yeah.
Which, you know, I'll be watching the door because that happened the last time. It was raining, too, when it was left outside with a sign on it that said lithium battery, you know, like telling the whole world that this is something that you might want to take off the front porch. But, I'm excited about it because I love the camera that's on this, the S22 Ultra. Mm-hmm. But this one has started running very slow.
Julian, as we approach 9:50, 9:40, do you need to run back to the other side as we say?
I should probably run.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Scoot.
So Julian's right. going to scoot, and he's going to see, there was the beep, and I'm going to pause. And give him enough time to... he's back, so now I can say, we'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us.
There's a young man that I know whose age is 21. Someday soon, going with him someday soon.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's our friend Susie Bogus, who is going into the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum's Hall of Fame this year. And we're very excited that we're going to be the ones who are going to be inducting her into the,
yes.
the Hall of Fame.
And she is just over the moon. She is so excited about this.
And there is going to be a big ceremony. We're going to tell you all about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to welcome now the man who is the founder of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, Ron Romero. Ron, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I know we were supposed to talk last week, and we were covering the news of the night, and then woke up on Sunday morning to the news of the museum being hit by quite a storm overnight. Right, Ron?
And in fact, you had a couple yeah. tornadoes that went through Joliet this past week.
Yeah, so the first one was actually a microburst, and that's the one that did the most damage for us. The second night on Monday was a tornado. It did a little more damage, but it was minor damage the second night in the day, if you can believe that.
Wow.
The first microburst on Sunday was incredible to see. When I got the call and got down to the museum, oof, it was bad.
Well, no, there was a roof that was on the road in front of the museum, but that was a roof from down the street, right?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is when I arrived, the fire department and some of the emergency first responders were there, and they said your roof got blown off. Mm. You could see that the front of our building was damaged. It hit what was called the parapet or the front of the building,
mm-hmm.
and it tore part of that down. And when I got there, I went along with it. I said, yes, it looks like our roof is down, and, oh, you know, it looks terrible. And he says, you know, all this metal done. I said, wait a second, we don't have any metal on our roof. And it just happened to occur to me when somebody said, your HVAC unit. Well, this was a roof that was over the HVAC unit at the local college just down the street. It was about a half a block away.
Wow.
And it was about a half block long, if you can imagine. And it hit the front of, kind of clipped the front of our building and landed like it just dropped right in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there were no cars, there were no people, nobody walking by, and it didn't do any more damage to any other buildings.
Hmm.
And one of the things that I was amazed at, people who are longtime listeners know that you have this wonderful Gigantar guitar on the front of the building, and it was not damaged at all, was it?
No, actually, our neighbor called me at a little bit after 8:30 after we got hit, and she was in tears, and she said, you got to get down here. And when she said that, you know, we knew we were just through a storm, that was the first thing that I thought had happened, is damage to the Gigantar. And then when I arrived, we parked down the street and had to walk to it, and I saw it still up on the wall in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we didn't find any scratches until a little bit later, some minor scratches on it. But the part of the building that fell off literally fell off about a foot and a half away from the guitar.
Wow.
But it was just incredible to see.
Yeah, yeah. Now, have you taken the guitar down for the repairs that are going to be going on?
It hasn't come down yet, but the plan is to take it down. They're going to have to... fix the upper part of the building, the roof, mm-hmm. and then eventually the facade. And that's going to have to come down because we naturally don't want to do any damage sure. to it, mm-hmm. of course.
Now, this is a major undertaking for Joliet because there has been, sadly, some significant damage around that whole area. And from what I understand, there's a lot of people that are pulling together to get things back to being whole as quick as they can.
We are so fortunate to have such a good community, especially downtown people all around the city now. When we arrived, the mayor was there, the city administrator was there. I got calls from our state representatives. We had gotten calls from, like, a lot of people, our councilwoman and all the neighbors downtown. Thankfully, you know, some of the stores opened up. They were closed on Sunday, but they opened up so that we had a cooling station. They gave us water. There's another museum next to us who opened up and gave us cooling stations so that we can get in there to cool off a little bit. They had lunch for us. They had water for us. Just everybody came together. The police and fire response was spot on. Everything worked like a well-oiled machine. They just had everything under control.
That's wonderful. The museum is open while these repairs are going on, Ron?
Well, no. Unfortunately, we did have to close down. Incredibly, not one of the exhibits inside was damaged.
Oh, good.
Come out just to make sure that it was safe until the building was safe.
Right.
But it's, we have been open. We kind of did a soft opening this year, and we were just finishing up the second floor, which is a majority of the new exhibit space. And it's just, we've had visitors from around the world. Incredible turnout. And so what we ended up doing, speaking of good neighbors, University of St. Francis was kind enough to give us their art gallery that was empty for the while. You know, well, everybody's out of school right now. Mm-hmm. So they gave us their art gallery, which is about four blocks away and located right behind the Rialto Square Theater. So we're able to have our gift shop there. And one of the biggest things that we do is Route 66 travelers can get passports. You know, they're collectibles.
Right.
We happen to be the first one from this side to sell them. And then, of course, California sells them. And then people stop at all the different places on Route 66 and get their stamp.
Right.
So we have a lot of people coming to the gift shop there to pick theirs up or to get theirs stamped. And then, of course, we have all our merchandise or, you know, the little things, the books and the shirts and all the collectibles, and we're able to do that there for at least a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's been an amazing week the way things have come together for you and the museum in this short period of time. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about this big event that you're looking forward to, and we're certainly looking forward to it in October. We're talking with Ron Romero. He's the founder of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 in Joliet, and you're listening to WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Richard Marx. He is one of the people that will be inducted during the fourth annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony hosted by the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 in Joliet. The event will be held on Sunday, October 20th, starting at 6 p.m., and it's going to be at the Rialto Square Theater in downtown Joliet.
Love that theater.
We are talking with Ron Romero, who's the founder of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66. This is going to be a fun gig, isn't it, Ron?
It's always a fun gig, and it's one of those parties that if you miss, you're going to be disappointed. There's always, you know, we do our best to plan what's going to happen, but there's always some kind of surprise that happens throughout the night. And this year, it's incredible. We've got, of course, Richard Marx coming out. George Thorogood is coming, and he's going to do the dedication to Bo Diddley.
I love that.
And of course, yeah. And then we're inducting some great blues players like Little Walter and Howlin' Wolf and Willie Dixon, who, of course, wrote so many songs. I always tell people, if you listen to the very first Led Zeppelin album, that was mostly Willie Dixon's music there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, of course, Susie Boggess is going to be inducted this year, too. Yeah. We're excited to have her.
Yeah, Dad, and we were honored when we heard that Susie and her husband, Doug, wanted us to be the ones to induct her, because we've had a long-time friendship with Susie. And I am so tickled that you're inducting Willie Dixon. In fact, you just made me think, somewhere in our archives, I have a reel-to-reel tape of about a two-hour interview I did with Willie Dixon back in the early 80s. I need to digitize that, and I need to get you guys a copy of it.
That would be awesome. We'd love to have that. Absolutely.
Well, some people have said, and in fact, they've even said this to Susie Boggess, how is it that you're getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Illinois? But she's so much more than just country music. She is just good music.
Well, country and blues had a baby, and they called it rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
It's all related.
Yes.
The cool thing is that we get that clump off, and I know Cleveland gets that as well, too, but we get that often. It's not rock and roll. The truth of the matter is rock and roll, the actual genre of rock and roll, existed from, say, mid-50s to early 60s. Everything else from that is just offshoots. So when you come into the museum, one of the first things you do is you'll see this nice wall with a video that plays and tells you what we're doing there. On that wall, you'll see things like rock and roll and jazz and soul and country. And so we honor, preserve, and promote music from all genres. As long as it has a tie to Illinois, that's what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and Susie is from Aledo, Illinois, and we've talked about her history with the whole state of Illinois, so it seemed only fitting in our world. And speaking of famous people from this area, Steve Goodman will be recognized, right, Ron?
Absolutely, yeah, Steve Goodman, part of the trilogy, as they say, from the folk music from our area here as well.
And our friend Marshall Thompson from the Shylights. How
yes.
Cool.
He's coming too. I'm so excited about this year. There's such great music. It's funny, the Shylights, you know, we do weekly posts, of course, on our social media. And that was one of the biggest ones that had so many hits. Ooh Girl and, you know, all the songs that they had. We had thousands of hits on that, and it got shared hundreds and hundreds of times. It was incredible.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the memorable nights that Johnny and I had was years ago. If you remember the Star Plaza Theater in Merrill, Indiana?
Oh, sure.
For 2 years in a row, we hosted a Street Carols concert. And,
oh, nice.
And at the concert, there were people like, there was Jerry Butler. We had Lou Christie.
David Somerville.
David Somerville of the Diamonds. And we also had the Shylights. And when the Shylights came on, particularly when they started going, ooh, girl. I mean, you could feel the electricity in that theater go through the roof.
That's incredible. And that's part of, when we do these shows, it makes the hair on your arm stand up when you hear some of this music, because it's just music that we've known for many years, and it's just good stuff. It really is.
We're getting some texts, so let's do the obvious. We're getting a lot of texts at 312-981-7200. Some people, the 847 area code says, okay, so tell us how to get tickets. So what do we do? So,
all right, the date is October 20th. It's a Sunday evening, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the easiest way, there's two ways to get tickets. You can go to our website, which is roadtorock.org, roadtorock.org. Look for events on the navigation, and it'll tell you a list of everything that's going on. We have a lot of great events, not just the Hall of Fame, but we do other things as well. The other thing, then, is to go to rialtosquare.com, and that's directly to the Rialto. And, of course, they do through Ticketmaster. And they'll hook you up with the tickets. If you've not been to this theater, you've got to come. It's made by the same people that made and designed the Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very ornate, very beautiful theater. Great sound, no obstructions anywhere. Just a lovely theater.
Well, wonderful acoustics. And Johnny and I saw two of our favorite events at the Rathaus Square. One was when the Everly Brothers got back together, their reunion tour. We saw the Everly Brothers at the Rathaus Square. The other was An Evening with Cary Grant.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
There's got to be a book out there somewhere, or if not, there should be one written, because the history. They also do a tour there. I think it's on Tuesdays to go through the Rialto, and if those walls could talk, there's been a lot of great, great entertainers there.
Well, one of the things those walls would talk about was tornado aid when this radio station put on a concert to help the victims of the Plainfield tornado. And on that concert, I played Johnny B. Goode. While I'm playing Johnny B. Goode, Johnny is playing her accordion, and it comes to a point where she's going to take a solo. She goes to the front of the stage, takes off the accordion, and does a Jimi Hendrix burning her accordion on the stage of the Rialto Square Theater.
With a sold-out audience screaming, burn it, burn it, burn it, and I did.
Oh, we've got to see that somewhere. It's got to be on YouTube, right?
Yes, and the Joliet Fire Department was waiting in the wings, so they ran out and they grabbed the accordion, and it ended up in the alley, and we were pulling away that night after like a 6-hour concert. I mean, it just went on forever. And I looked in the side mirror and I saw it sitting in the alley. And I said, we can't just leave it in the alley. We went back and got it, smelled up our car, smelled up our basement, this stupid burnt accordion.
But there were so many people that thought, how did you ruin that accordion? And what we had done, we went to the ALS Foundation. They had an accordion that didn't work. We gave them a donation, so they got this. We got this non-working accordion, and that was what we used to burn.
Yes.
But people, that's awesome. You know what? I have a new idea for the grand finale this year, now that we're talking about this.
What?
We'll have to find another accordion.
Oh, no, no. All right. Now, let me answer another question. A listener wants to know, how long will this concert be if we get there at 6 o'clock in the evening? It's a couple of hours of entertainment.
Yeah. Do you have a couple days off that week?
Yeah, you know, it's the very first one we had was a 4-hour concert.
Oh, wow.
And so we got it down to, it's about 3 hours now. There's a lot to fill in.
Yeah.
We only induct usually around 7 or 8 people a year. And with the, you know, there's a little preview, a little quick video story about each person. Somebody comes out and does the induction. The person accepts, or the band accepts, and then if it's a band, a lot of times they come out and they perform.
Mm-hmm.
They will come out and play a song or two, or a few more. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to get through the production of that. But we, in the past, we've dealt with, you could script it over and over again until you get it right down to the T. And then you get things like, you know, somebody calling in late because they had a flat tire on the highway.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something going on.
Right.
But the best part is that there's always excitement and there's always some surprises.
And there's literally music for everyone, for every taste. Yeah. And we should mention that our very own Bob Surratt will once again be the master of ceremonies for the concert that night. Well, it's going to be a big night. We're going to talk about it many, many times before October 20th, because we're just tickled to have anything to do with the concert, because it's going to be huge. And tickets are available now, so you can get your tickets, and you can go to, as Ron said, you can go to Ticketmaster, or you can go to Rialto Square and in Joliet, and you can look it up there, or go to the museum's website. And Ron, the best place to go to access tickets is events at
roadtorock.org. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, we've got that on our Facebook page too, roadtorock.org. Ron, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and let's do this a couple more times before October 20th, okay?
It's always good to talk to you both.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Ron. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I think most of you recognize that as being the theme to the Bob Newhart Show. And sadly, this week, we received news that Bob Newhart has passed away.
The age of 94 years old. Still very active.
Yeah.
If you're like me, you think of deadpan. I immediately see Bob Newhart in my mind's eye.
And we were talking about this last night. Bob Newhart, to me, he may be the only television sitcom person who made sitcoms. I enjoyed every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Usually somebody has something and say, nah, it's not so.
Yeah.
With Newhart, I was there. It was so good. And I go back to when I first heard him, when I listened to The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart.
1960.
And then started seeing him on The Ed Sullivan Show and other mm-hmm. shows. He always, and I'm not just saying this because he passed away, he always made me laugh.
Yeah.
And he never worked blue. He didn't need to.
He didn't need to.
He was funny. He was so yes. good. We wanted to remember Bob Newhart. And to that end, we thought it was appropriate to get in touch with our friend Gino Salamone.
And Gino, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. You know, I just got off the phone about an hour ago with Julia Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on Saturday Night Live, but she was friends with Bob Newhart. He had her on his show, George and Leo. And she is so upset about this because, first of all, her father was born the same year as Bob Newhart, same city as Bob Newhart in Oak Park, Illinois. And she always just felt so close to him. And when he got his one of his honors, he asked her to be there. And she just is still upset. I mean, at 94, not a shock, but that's how beloved Bob Newhart
Absolutely.
Was. Everybody loved him.
And he garnered a whole new audience of fans because of Professor Proton on the hit series The Big Bang Theory. And he was so good on that.
His timing was just as good as it ever was.
And I don't know if you remember that shot on the Emmys with Conan O'Brien hosting. Do you remember what
he
did with him?
Yes. Oh, and it was a funny, funny bit.
Right. And what happened was he had him in like a tank that he was going to not let Bob out of throughout the thing, throughout the award show. And he was so funny without saying a word. He could be hilarious.
Just that face. Oh, golly.
Yes, exactly right.
And we've got the statue of him not very far from us right here. Right off
Navy Pier.
And it's just a great statue of him just sitting on the bench with his leg crossed. And pride of Oak Park, as you said, but we've always thought of him as a Chicagoan. I've got a great picture of him at the WGN studios back in the late 50s when he was... he was picking up jobs here and there, and it was 1960, I guess, when he really hit it big with with the album that became number one on the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy album.
Not
goes
only that, normally you would be nominated for Best Comedy Album. He won Album of the Year that year.
That's right.
Yes. And that, boy, you talk about a shock to a lot of people, but he deserved it.
Oh, my gosh. Because that one.
You guys passed that house at the apartment at 5901 North Sheridan Road. You ever look up? Because I know they only shot the exteriors in Chicago, but it felt like it was Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And truly, one of the best endings of any television show ever was the ending of the Bob Newhart Show with Suzanne Pleshette, where it was a dream.
Where he wakes up. That
is the best.
It is absolutely the definitive way to end a series.
No one can top that, and that they were able to keep it a secret and surprise everyone made it all the more special, because now you can't surprise anyone with anything. That one, and all of a sudden, he's turning the light on, and you look and like, wait a minute, that's the other bedroom. That is the original bedroom from the first show.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if those shows are still being shown anywhere. I mean, every show seems to be taking on life, but there's going to be a special on Monday night on CBS.
Yeah, apparently the people behind Entertainment Tonight got to the honchos at CBS and said, hey, we've got all this archival footage. we can put together a special, and it's going to run, I think, about 2 hours.
Yeah, on Monday night.
Well, and, you know, we know the sitcoms, but, you know, think about it. He was on Ed Sullivan so many times. He was on the Dean Martin Show so many times. And then he guest hosted The Tonight Show a huge number of times. So he was everywhere, and like I said, everyone loved him.
Yeah, yeah. He always seems so accessible to me, because Kaley Cuoco wrote quite beautifully about getting to know him from Big Bang Theory. And I thought, wow, he just seemed like he was a normal guy. Like, you could just sit down and you know, over a cup of coffee and just hang out with him a while. And then, of course, he'd make you laugh hysterically just by looking at you.
By the way, if you have...
I'll tell you, I felt a sadness for him, because he and his wife, Jenny, were close friends with Don Rickles and his wife.
Oh.
So Don goes shortly after Don Rickles' wife goes. Then Jenny goes, and Bob's by himself.
Yeah.
You know, I know he has his children, but that had to have been a difficult time, because the Newharts and the Rickles would travel the world together, taking these vacations. And, you know, just what an unlikely pair, right?
Well, you talk about an unlikely pair. I stumbled across something this afternoon. If you haven't taken a look at Jane Fonda's Facebook post, seek it out.
Really?
It is a wonderful, very personal post about her relationship with Bob Newhart. And it's a side of Jane Fonda you don't expect, and it's wonderful.
So hands down, everybody loved him, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and then Judd Apatow and Michael Bonfiglio did this documentary, just like an hour long, but it was called Bob and Don, A Love Story. I think you can find it on YouTube. And it told the story, and you saw home video, home films that they shot on these vacations together. And it was just like, I could never understand Don Rickles and Bob Newhart until I watched this. And then you saw how special that friendship was.
I've got to look that up, because to me, just wrapping my mind around, there you are on vacation and you bump into Bob Newhart and Don Rickles. I would just say, no, this is it. I've died and gone to heaven. This is just crazy. Listeners are telling me that you can catch the Newhart Show on the Comedy Channel. They're apparently playing episodes all weekend in tribute to him, which is appropriate. And I guess Amazon Prime has them all available. Yep, the Newhart Show. So, good. I'm going to have to binge some Newhart over the next few days.
First series, too. That group of regulars. Was there a stronger group of regulars than the first Newhart Show?
Oh.
My favorite scenes were Bob Newhart with Larry, and...
And Daryl.
And Daryl, yes. Yeah. Oh, golly.
And a lot of people don't remember that Bob Newhart was a very savvy businessman. He owned an FM station in Chicago years ago. And I want to say it was in the 60s or 70s that he bought... I believe it was, I want to say it was WDHF.
I didn't know that.
I think it was like 95.5,
Wow. Went to Loyola University, so he really does have some deep ties in Chicago, and I'm sure he ventured up to Milwaukee from time to time, right, Gino?
Well, I was able to talk to him for the movie Elf. Now, talk about another great credit. He was just perfect in that, and playing Bob Newhart, but as the Papa Elf.
Yes, yes. A lot of people, it was really funny how you could see when the news broke that he had passed away, the different age groups. You could see the group that responded to him from his comedy albums from the 60s, and then you have the group that's a Big Bang Theory. But Elf was mentioned so many times. That character was beloved.
Yes.
That's so funny.
You know, it's kind of a modern classic. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
That is one of those Christmas movies that people have to watch every year.
And that's no mean feat for a performer that had the longevity that Bob Newhart did, to stay relevant through decade after decade after decade. And he did that.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Well, Gino,
he never retired. He said he could not retire. How great is that?
Well, and I think that says something, too, about being able to continue on because Les Paul was of the same mindset. If I retire, then I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
I need to keep working. This is what makes me happy, makes my heart beat. Well, before we let you go, Gino, and it's always a great excuse to talk to you, there is an incredible picture of you driving Henry Winkler's in the back seat. Who else is in the car with you?
Okay. Don Most, who played Ralph Mouth, and Don's wife, Morgan, were in the car, and then Anson Williams, who was Posse. So I'm sitting at home 2 Mondays ago, and the phone rings, and I look, and it says Anson Williams, who was Posse. And I pick up the phone, and I'm, Anson, I said, it's so great to hear from you. And it was the unmistakable voice of Henry Winkler. He was using Anson's phone. He said, we're in Wisconsin. You're driving up to meet us, and we're all going out for dinner.
Oh, my.
And I said, yes, sir. And I drove to Clintonville, Wisconsin. We went to a supper club there. And they were in Iola, Wisconsin for the Iola Auto Show, the car show, which draws like 80,000 people in 4 days.
Wow.
I had no idea how big it was. And it was just one of the best nights because, honestly, I'm just so honored to be friends with these people. And that's, you know, who talked about show business? Nobody. They talked about their lives, and it was just so nice. And Henry is truly the nicest man in the world.
Yeah.
You know, we were having dinner, and he had us back to the room because, you know, just didn't want to be bothered while he was eating. Well, he was eating, and a man walked up, and Henry couldn't see. I could see because I was facing him. And a man walked up with his son who has Down syndrome. Mm. And he said, Mr. Winkler, would you mind taking a picture with my son? And Henry was right in the middle of eating, and he saw the son, and he said, absolutely. And he's put his arm around the boy and posed for pictures. Hmm. Just, you know what? That's the way to treat people, the way Henry Winkler does.
And you then what happens is you're remembered like we remember Bob Newhart as being just a really nice guy.
Yes.
Not only talented, but a good person, too. But the picture that you posted on your Facebook page is hysterical. You tooling around with this carload of stars. People can find you as entertainment reporter for Fox 6 in Milwaukee and the Dish Network. And they can follow you because you're very active on Facebook, too. Right?
Yes, the Gino Salamone Critic page. And I also have a YouTube channel, if I may.
Sure.
Watch Gino TV. They've got all my interviews, the Sandra Bullock thing, the Diane Cannon laugh, which I know you've played on many occasions.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up.
Follow.
Yes, I may have to come in. Well,
see, I know you were thinking that I would do. But I'd never do that.
I started to say, if Steve plays it, I'm going to come after you, Gino. And I thought, no, I don't want to put that in his head. No, please. Again, that is not me.
And by the way, that is not edited. That's how long she lasts.
That is Diane Cannon. And that was, Gino, thank you, I think.
Thank you, and I love my Steve and Johnny.
I love talking about people that are just really good people like Bob Newhart. So thank you for joining us tonight to remember him.
All the accolades he gets.
Take care, hon. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Gino. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. I love a chicken, baby. Shouting mama lover. Well, nobody's going to sit down. Well. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Shout, Bama Lama. I love that song.
That's good stuff.
Oh, man. And I always forget his name. Julian, that was who?
Otis Redding.
Oh.
Oh, that's Otis's version, because there was another version that was a more of a hit version.
That was good stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's time now for a little shout-out activity here.
Mama Lama.
We got a whole bunch of people. Like, Bill is listening to us in Hobart, and Les Nelson is listening in Oswego, and Bonnie and George are in Elgin. Bonnie's in Butternut, Wisconsin. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Stacy's in Algonquin. Scott's in Pierre, South Dakota. Robin's in Dyer, Indiana. Missy's in DeKalb. Lester's in Fort Hill, South Carolina. That's Lester Clyden. Started a new job, and he's in Fort Hill, South Carolina. Diane Vasquez is tuned in. Our buddy Neil Schroka, our WGN kid. He signed in tonight. Wendy Koziel is also listening. Bill Hill is in Hobart. Delphine Behrman's in Chicago. Priscilla Gilbert Steig is tuned in. Also Sandy Blackwell, Valerie Bears in Hoffman Estates, Nancy Hollins, Brian Lefevre's in Chicago. You'll see pictures that I took on our way into the studio tonight. You'll also see a picture of Miss Alice Selke that we talked to earlier this evening, just celebrated her 106th birthday. I heard from her daughter, Deb, and Deb tells me that we overlook the fact, as we were talking about Alice's history, that her husband was actually the chief of the fire department for decades. And the fire department recognized him. So tonight was Alice's night. She was recognized for her service all those years.
We're going to have her back on again.
Yes, we are.
If not before, at least next year for her 107th birthday.
Yes, because a whole bunch of people said, oh my gosh, she could, she really.
If you didn't know that she had was now into triple digits. Boy, you wouldn't know that.
I know. What a great sense of humor. Nancy Hollins is tuned in. Carrie Johnson's listening in Palm Coast, Florida. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Also, Gary Gray is tuned in New Lisbon, Wisconsin. Margot Moore, Mary Gold is in Amboy. I always think of the Amboy Dukes.
Yeah.
Right? Cheryl Basso.
What was their hit?
Oh, gosh. I can hear the
Amboy Dukes
Journey
to the center of your mind. I think.
Yes, I could hear the opening riff. Yes. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida, tuned in tonight. Susie Schimmel, Glenn Ellen. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine, sending us another gorgeous picture. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Jim Smith, Brian Lefevre. I think I mentioned Brian, but you know what? He's here every week, so he deserves two mentions. Our buddy Chuck Snitchler over in Hobart, mm-hmm. tuned in. And Bobby Danos out in Sandwich, listening in. The old-fashioned way on his mm-hmm. radio. So thank you all for tuning in. If I missed you, like Susan Powell in Memphis, and Sharon Malone in K-Town, and Rich Wade is in Michigan, and Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Oh, I love Savannah.
We got to go back to Savannah.
Yeah.
I know we've mentioned it before, but Savannah was one of the real highlights of our honeymoon.
We have to go see the play in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yes.
Set in Savannah, but it's getting rave reviews here in Chicago. I'd like to go back to Savannah because that was pre that book becoming a bestseller and a mm-hmm. movie. And it was a beautiful place.
It was just one of those magical days.
Yeah.
And it was fun just being by the water, and all, remember, we were down by the water, and all of a sudden, these kids came, and one of them put
first time we saw breakdancing
on the street.
They put a big piece of cardboard down on the
and
street,
and they were good.
Yes, it was the very first time we saw breakdancing, which is in the Olympics. Oh gosh,
that was not me.
That was a oopsie.
An oopsie.
I was moving some things around. And
oh, you thought you were
pressed.
Hitting the news intro and you hit.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we'll shut up. Stay with us at WGN Radio.
It's time to let some light in. I've done enough crying. The past is gone.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I would love to let that play till the end of the song, but if I do, we don't get to talk to one of our favorite people that we haven't seen in
forever.
Much too long a
yes.
time.
Last century. Can
yeah,
you
literally.
Believe that? Yes, Steve Dawson. That music is Steve Dawson. So get your hands on the new CD, Ghost. Welcome to our studio, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Golly. Yeah.
Is this the first time you've been in this
it
studio?
Is, yeah, the first time I've been over in this building.
Because the last time we saw you, we were over at the Tribune Tower.
Yes.
Right.
In the last century.
As we were saying off the air, back in the easy days when you could pull up, park, run up the ramp, and you were in the studio. Here it's a little bit more convoluted, right, Steve?
So when was it? When did you leave that? The Tribune?
So that was 6 years ago,
yeah.
This
okay.
summer.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, as we've said before, back in the day, we loved being in the Showcase studio. I don't think you ever actually did shows with us in the Showcase studio out of Michigan Avenue. Yeah,
no.
That was in the fishbowl.
Yeah.
So we're in a different kind of fishbowl. You
yeah.
might see at some point flashing lights in some of the places across the way there. They like to get our attention.
Yeah.
And then do shows for us.
Oh.
Yeah. Seriously.
Okay.
Yes. I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
When I was sitting here, and because Johnny's looking at me, and that building is behind me, all of a sudden Johnny gets a strange look on her face, and
yeah.
somebody was flashing a light to get her attention, and I turn over and I leave. And there is a couple that wanted us to notice.
Yes. Oh, we met Steve Dawson. We met him as a part of a group called Dolly Varden.
Yes.
With your wife, Diane Christensen, artist extraordinaire.
Hi, Diane.
Yeah.
Hey, Diane.
And this is your number six solo album?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Ghost is the name of the... Now, is this something you wrote during COVID while you're locked down?
Some of it since. So some of the songs... were written yet during the, yeah. the COVID shutdown.
Did you ever feel compelled to leave Chicago? And because, I mean, you are, thank goodness, I mean, you're a Chicago treasure. You work tirelessly. I see you popping up over at the Old Town School of Folk Music
sure.
all the time. You're doing concerts in the area, doing your music. Did you ever feel the pull to go to one of the coasts to do your music?
Before I moved to Chicago, I was considering... Where to go, and I was thinking New York, LA, Nashville, but I came here because a friend was here and was playing a lot of gigs, and it was affordable to live here, and I fell in love with it, and once I sort of got settled and sort of felt the vibe of the city and started playing shows and meeting other musicians, I just thought this feels like home.
There's a yeah. great music community
it
here
really
too.
Is it really I love it, and yeah, I have so many great friends that are musicians, and
don't you have a studio in your home too?
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, home studio where I record.
An art studio and
yeah.
the whole works.
Yeah, yeah.
So during COVID, you guys were like, good.
I mean, yeah, we were able to be creative for sure and able
yeah.
to create things, yeah.
I have to ask you the obvious. Why Ghosts?
Ah, well, I named the album after I had sort of recorded the songs and put them, you know, recorded them and picked them, and then just thought, what's something that describes this set of songs? And there's people that have passed away in these songs. There's memories of people from the past that I've lost track of, and one of the songs has the word ghosts in it, and it just seemed like that seemed like the right word. And I ran it by Diane. I ran a couple of options by her, and she said, "Yeah, that's the right word." So,
yeah,
yeah.
One of the many things I love about the album is each song is like, I've seen your videos for some of the songs, but even the ones that don't have videos, there's a little movie that starts
there
playing
is.
with each song.
Oh, thanks.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've always loved songs that, create a little movie in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I think one of the strongest ones, in my opinion, is Leadville.
Oh, thanks.
And not too long ago, you explained on Facebook how you kind of wrestled with including this song about a small town in America.
Yes.
And you would talk a little bit about that, why you were wrestling with putting that particular song on.
Well, partially, I'm not someone who... likes being negative,
mm-hmm.
I'm plenty critical, I guess.
But you're not a negative person.
Yeah, and I don't want to be adding to there's so much negativity and sort of victimization and stuff in our society. And I didn't think I want to be adding to that. But then there was a handful of country songs that came out that were sort of like, you know, small town values and sort of like with this pompous idea that people from small towns are better than people from cities, that, you know, this sort of salt of the earth. And I was just like, all right, I need to
tell the other side.
Tell the other side. Yeah, because I grew up in a little town in Idaho, and there were some lovely people there, but there was a lot of just awful people too, you know, small-minded, racist, misogynistic, just creepy people, a lot of them. And I think that's a big part of small town America as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So there are wonderful people, but just like everywhere, anywhere in the world, there's going to be some lovely people and some awful people. And I just felt like, okay, I can do this. And I ran it by some people, and I was like, is this okay? And they're like, yeah, you should totally. Yeah. You should totally put that song on there. So,
but again, you talk about a movie playing in your head. Wow. Because I know that small town. You know, when I hear the song, I'm like, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Well, and when I've played it, always, before the record came out, I played it a few times just, and always someone would come up and say, that could be where I grew up. You know, that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Are you still enjoying performing live?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
In fact, fess up, you were nice enough to come right after a gig. Where did you play tonight?
We were in Oak Park. I was singing with Nora O'Connor. Do you know her?
Oh, yeah.
She's
a
great, great singer, songwriter. So we did a duet gig at Ernest Hemingway's birth home in Oak Park.
Hmm.
On the porch.
We were just talking about another one of the famous people from Oak Park, Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was from Oak Park.
Yeah.
Oak Park's own. Wow. Yeah. We're talking with Steve Dawson. His new CD, which is on Pravda Records, is entitled Ghosts. And is it available through your website? How do you recommend people get their hands on it?
Either directly through the Pravda Records website or through Bandcamp, which would be my Bandcamp, Steve Dawson Bandcamp. But you could, Pravda's really good about sending them out. So if you order a CD or an LP from them, they'll get it to you immediately.
Great.
And if you forget any of that, just go to stevedawson.com and you can link to those
sites. Or stevedawsonmusic.com is my website, yeah.
All right. Steve Dawson is with us in studio. This is what we're calling our summer concert series, because this is the time to get people in here and share their new music. And we're so lucky to have all this wonderful talent here in Chicago. So stay with us. We'll get back to Steve Dawson here on WGN.
Got some place to be. Things to see. I'm still digging out from under this mess. It's anybody's guess. Oh.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's O California. That's from Steve Dawson's new album, Ghosts. Steve is nice enough to come on over from a gig and hang out with us. And Steve, I was telling you off the air, one of the things I love about this album is, rather than doing a whole lot of tracking, which is the norm for everybody, you just basically went in the studio, played, and they did something novel. They recorded your performance and put it out as a record. What a concept.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of my favorite records were made that way. and I wanted to do it. Partially because, which I'm sure you watched the Beatles thing, the Get Back documentary, where they're all in the same room and, you know, just going through the songs and making up harmonies and stuff on the spot. And it just reminded me, it's like, oh, that's the way the records I love were made. And I talked to John Abbey, who runs King Size Sound Labs, and I was like, can we do that? And he's like, yeah, of course we can. We'll figure it out. So, yeah.
How cool.
10 songs are on the CD. Now, you're a guitarist. You also play organ?
Yeah. I did those as overdubs. So I did the organ parts as overdubs, yes.
I didn't know you played organ, too.
Well, I could sort of do, like... two finger, you know.
Okay, so we're not going to surprise you. We have an organ in the studio.
No, I'm not.
Wouldn't that be funny?
They're very simple.
Surprise.
It's just for, I love that sound.
Yeah.
I love, you know, it's
kind of mournful. It can be really sad, and it can also be very happy because.
Yeah. It fills a lot of, it just really fills in the space and kind of glues things together. I just love that sound.
That's
and so I put it on it's on a lot of the songs. Yeah.
Well, I think what we should do now is shut up and let you do whatever it is you feel like doing.
Okay. I'm going to do a song called Sooner Than Expected, which is off of the record. I don't know if I want to do headphones. I think I won't. On the record, this has Alton Smith playing accordion, and it has Diane singing a harmony.
Walking over a filthy river, trucks and cars and buses passed. A rusted out industrial bridge in the upper Midwest. The air is cold, the sky is blue. I am alone, I'm walking fast. Thought there was gonna be a little more time, but here it comes, sooner than expected, sooner than expected. The sound and the pull of moving water, it's what I remember. That's where I go. Hours and hours in the cold, clear river, up to my knees in my bare feet. I am alone. I thought there was gonna be a little more. But here it comes, sooner than expected, sooner than expected. Still get the stab in the center of my chest when I remember your laughing face. Loss by loss, year by year, try to keep pace. I thought there was gonna be a little more time, but here it is, sooner than expected, sooner than expected.
Thank you. you.
Wow.
Wow.
I hope you take this as the compliment. I mean it. That has a wonderful John Denver vibe to it.
Wow. I love John Denver.
What a really nice... That's... I love it on the album. I love what you just did.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Guitar's got a big old sound to it. I'm trying to see what it is. I'm looking at the headstock.
It was made by a luthier named Cat Fox.
Oh, so there's
it's a fox.
It's a fox up there, because I'm looking at it going,
She made it. It was born in 1988.
It's gorgeous.
In Massachusetts. She's in Vermont now. So, yeah.
Got a nice big sound to it, too.
Yeah, I love this guitar.
When we talk about your history, and forgive me because we have to rehash all of this for people who might not know who you are, and get with it, people. didn't you spend some time at Berklee School of Music?
Yeah, I went to college at the Berklee School of Music in Boston. And yeah, that's where I met Cat Fox and asked her to make me a guitar. But I was there from like 83. 84 to 87 or something like that. I came to Chicago in the end of 87. So
all your life you knew you were going to be a singer-songwriter?
Well, since I was maybe 12.
Really?
That's what I wanted. Yeah.
What are you going to be when you grow up and you'd say, I'm going to do this for a living, right?
I mean, in a way, I guess so. Yeah. It was the thing that most interested me.
What was it at 12 that made you want to head down that road?
I mean, I always loved music, and I loved the radio. I loved the Beatles. My parents had Beatle records. I was obsessed with them. But then once I started, I learned guitar in seventh grade, as it was part of the public schools in Idaho. So there's a plus for Idaho. And my teacher was an Idaho fiddle champion, Linda Terry. So she would be one of the wonderful people in small town Idaho. And she was a huge John Denver fan. Huge. Hmm. And she basically taught us to play guitar learning John Denver songs.
Oh, wow.
So, and she'd say things like, can you feel sunshine on your shoulders when you're playing the song? Can you actually feel the sunshine on your shoulders? You know, which I thought, you know, for a bunch of 13-year-olds, that was a pretty profound approach. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just play G, then play C.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Yeah, get inside the song and experience the song as just a powerful thing. Once I started playing guitar, there was sort of no turning back.
That's great.
Yeah.
Steve Dawson is our guest. The CD is called Ghosts. We've locked the doors. So he's going to be with us for a bit more. So stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of the terrific tracks from Steve Dawson's new album, Ghost. And I love that for so many reasons, not the least of which is in 2024, how cool to hear a song that is so positive. I'm glad to be alive. Just
I get goosebumps when I hear it because I'm thinking to myself, we should say this more often.
Right.
We should just, that becomes our mantra. Hey, there's a lot of crap out there, but I'm glad to be alive.
Right. Take us to the inspiration.
Well, kind of just that. I mean, it's just the basics, right? I mean, you wake up in the morning and try to be grateful for, you know, you get one more day.
Amen.
And sometimes my songs are just reminders to myself to, like, keep this thought. So, yeah, that's basically it. There's nothing, no profound backstory other than just don't forget.
Don't forget.
You know, yes. We are here for a short time, and be happy for the time we have.
So you were 12 when you kind of decided this is the road you wanted to take. When did you realize I can write songs?
It's an interesting thing that it pretty quickly it just seemed like the obvious thing to do. And I know, and as I've talked to other people that are songwriters, they kind of have felt that way. But there's some weird genetic, I don't know, malformation or something that makes people that write songs just figure like, well, of course I can do that. Why wouldn't I do that? And other people to think, well, I can't do that. And when I teach songwriting classes at the Old Town School of Folk Music,
well, you co-wrote a book on songwriting too with Mark Carroll.
Yeah, so. I think a lot of the classes are me just kind of saying, well, of course you can. You just do it. Just do it. Of course you can write a song. It's not rocket science. And so as a little kid, I was just like, well, okay, I play guitar. I guess I'm going to write songs now. So, I mean, I wrote just thousands of terrible songs as a teenager.
Oh, that's great.
And, have never stopped. I probably started when I was like 14, and as soon as I could play 5 chords, you know.
Yeah. Who needs a therapist when you can write songs?
Well, I do need a therapist, but I also write songs.
Is it kind of like what we've heard from some writers? They say the important thing is to write every day. Do you feel the same way
with
songs?
Well, I think novelists, I think that is true. And there was certainly there's been times in my life when I have just obsessively written all the time. But these days, I kind of wait for my subconscious or whatever it is, mind, the creative, some creative spark to happen where I think, oh, that's a good idea. That's an interesting idea to approach. That's something has to spark my interest or spark my imagination.
Do you ever wake up with an idea?
Sure, sure. Yeah. That's great. And I now have 2 groups of people that I get together with on a semi-regular basis where really the only point is to have a deadline. So it's like I have a group with Jenny Benjamin. Do you know Jenny? She's another person you should know. She is just a magical human. Jenny Benjamin and her husband Robin Benjamin, who's a genius, a crazy genius songwriter. So it's with the 2 of them and some other friends of ours, and with Diane, and we get together with them, and we just, the goal is just, hey, you got to present something new. So that's been helpful, too, because having the deadline is very helpful. So a lot of the songs on my last 2 records have been songs written for the deadline of that group.
All right, you're in here, you're holding your guitar. What can
you maybe I'll sing an older song.
Okay.
A Dolly Varden song that people like. I was trying to think if I would have sung this back in the day on your show. Maybe.
Well, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California. Yeah, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California, for the warmth of the sun and the smell of the ocean. And my grandpa took a job as a teacher in New Mexico. Yeah, my grandpa took a job as a teacher in New Mexico. It was the height of the Depression. There was nowhere else to go.
was 12, my father moved our family up into the mountains. When I was 12, my father moved our family up into the mountains. In our very first winter, we had 6 feet of snow. I'd go fishing all summer in the river that ran behind our house. I'd go fishing all summer in the river that ran behind our house. I was singing to the trees, I was singing to the water. Following the footsteps of a friendship that ended in Chicago. I went following the footsteps of a friendship that ended in Chicago. I will never understand how that was 37 years ago. Well, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California.
Oh, boy.
Explain the goosebumps that I have. I honestly, we haven't seen you in a long time. Your voice has changed.
Yeah?
Do you feel like it's changed?
Well, I hope it's gotten better.
It's so big and round and warm.
Oh, thank you.
I always loved your voice, but I'm just sitting here going, dang, this is great.
It's more lived in, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. Well,
gosh,
thanks. Thank you.
And you did that song for us before.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But golly, that was good.
But never this way.
Yeah. That was
there are some miles on that version.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
That's what I'm picking up on. There's just that warmth about it. Gosh.
Yeah.
And listeners, I got to tell you, 630-708-847. Wow, he has a beautiful voice. Awesome voice.
Yeah.
Oh, golly, thank you. This is such a treat.
Oh, God.
708, has your guest ever heard of Tom Lerner's My Hometown?
No.
I think not, Peter. So that's somebody we got to look into. Tom Lerner's My Hometown. For some reason, you apparently remind him.
Cool.
And while you're looking at that, I will remind everybody to go to stevedawsonmusic.com. That's the website. And you can find out about where you can get a copy of Steve's new CD, Ghosts. You can find out where Steve's going to be playing. But we want to mention, you're doing a special thing with your record company, right?
Yes. So this new record and the one before it are on Pravda Records, which is a Chicago label that's celebrating 40 years. Ken Goodman is the president and CEO of, of Pravda Records and has been the whole time. He's a musician and a super great guy. And Pravda is celebrating 40 years at Fitzgerald's on August 31st, Pravda Fest. And I'm playing in there's like 15 bands. He's going to have music on all three stages all day and into the night. So, come on out.
Wow. Steve's going to be popping up a couple of places. If you are out in the Fox Valley in Oswego on the 27th, that's next weekend, it's going to be a Cab Cab, which is Cabernet Cabaret.
Yes.
And that just seems like a wonderful time. It's outside. Take Back the Night. Again, it's an outdoor venue, and you can get all the information at his site.
And you're going to be playing one of our absolute favorite places in Evanston, Space. You're going to be there on the 11th of August.
That's a memorial for a friend of ours, a sort of dear friend of mine that I sang with a lot. Ingrid Grodin, she passed away. She actually, one of her last vocal performances is on my record. She moved to Nashville, and so she recorded it down there, her parts down there. And I was talking to her in November and going over her parts and just telling her how amazing it sounded. And then she had a heart attack in December or in January, and lights out.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was crazy. So she was just beloved by everybody, and we're going to do a concert and a little tribute to Ingrid on August 11th. Yeah.
August 11th, that's a Space in Evanston. Again, you could even talk with Steve about a house concert, because you're doing some of those too.
Yeah, we're going to do the East Coast in October with Diane and I as a duet. Yeah.
Well, that's a good time to do the East Coast.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little leaf peeping while you're there.
Right.
Yeah. And we're talking about Diane Christensen, and she is the artist. She is his wife, part of Dolly Varden, and also on the CD, as well as her artwork is the cover of your CD, Ghosts.
Her artwork has been the cover of almost every record Dolly Varden and I have ever done.
That's wonderful.
With a couple of exceptions. But yeah, her artwork is incredible.
And for those of you who have been with us for a long time, you know that Diane was initially his landlord.
Well, that's right. That's right, Diane the landlord. You married her so you could keep your apartment.
Yes, it's worked out very well.
Yeah, you think?
I haven't been evicted.
All right, before we run out of time, you're going to sneak one more song in for us.
We'll have to get Diane up here to tell tell the landlord story. She's better at that story than me.
Life's too short and it takes too long. Years fly by and the days drag on. I made a wish, it did not come true. I found other things to do. Filled with hope, I'm filled with dread. I get so tired, but I don't go to bed. I cannot stop the spinning in my brain. I drift away, I come back again. I want to remember, I wish I could forget. A lifetime learning I haven't even started yet. It's all so easy, it's harder than it seems. The music comes from the spaces in between.
Boy,
great.
That's nice.
All right, here's a wonderful compliment from 815 area code, because we take texts throughout the show.
Oh, cool.
All right, and people are very active with the texting. Mm. Your voice needs to be on vinyl.
It is on vinyl.
Isn't that a great compliment,
yes,
though? His voice needs to be on vinyl. Yes, his voice is on vinyl.
Pravda makes LPs, so.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I love it. Yes.
And they can get all of your music through your site, or they can go to Pravda and get your hands on Ghosts, the latest. Another listener wants to know if your earlier stuff is still available.
Mostly. Some of the Dolly Varden stuff is in print on CDs. I have some LPs of one called The Dumbest Magnets. But
great album.
I think it's when we met you.
Probably.
With that
yes,
album.
That
yeah.
makes sense. That makes sense. But a lot of it is just streaming now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And if you can get your hands on a copy of our Life After Dark CD, which is highly collectible. You will find a live in-studio performance by Dolly Varden.
Yes. What year did that come out?
2000.
2000, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So we have... We really have known each other
a
lifetime.
Over a century.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And again, we found ourselves saying this the other day when we said you're going to be on the show. Dolly Varden, not Dolly Parton. That was a fish.
Yes.
I remember the night you told us the story about the fish. Your father had something to do with the fish named Dolly Varden.
Yeah, my dad was a huge fisherman, and Diane's dad is a fisherman. And I came up with the we were having a band meeting, and I was like, "What about Dolly Varden?" And Diane was like, "Oh, that's a great idea." And the other two people were like, "No, that's a terrible idea." But we went with it.
You've done so many things. What haven't you done that you want to do?
Oh gosh! Wow. Just write better songs, I guess. Play and sing better. I mean, I guess that's it. Just get better. There's the goal, I guess, is always to kind of reach some sort of state of transcendence in little moments, if possible. So just that just trying to find ways into that.
And could you explain because we've had a couple texts about this. People want to know what kind of a guitar you were playing and how you were playing. What you were doing sounds like finger picking, but it wasn't. You were actually doing flat picking on that last song.
On the last one, I was using a pick. The first one, I was going finger style in open D tuning with a capo. I was using a pick on Saskatchewan to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That one's in drop D. The guitar is just a Martin style
acoustic guitar.
Acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. Made by a woman named Cat Fox.
Not the biggest guitar, but got a big old sound.
Oh, boy, does it.
Yeah. And finally, are you still teaching at Old Town School of Folk Music?
Teaching many classes at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
Are you going to be a part of this? I just read, acoustic guitar is coming
up? The Fretboard Summit.
Yeah, when is that?
I just got it's August 23rd and 24th or something, because I just got asked to be on the panel just today.
We need to do something again, because we almost did something last year. Last year, our friend Tommy Emmanuel was there.
Right.
Yes.
And have you met Tommy?
I've not.
Oh, Tommy's
I'm
a
an
dear
admirer,
friend.
Though. Oh, my God.
He was sitting right there doing the show.
Gosh.
And
yeah,
it was such a treat.
In fact, let me quickly say, later.
A listener says, all this time I thought Dolly Varden was a punk band.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, we rock.
You could be punk. Yeah.
We rock. But we also do a lot of very sort of tender, pretty things.
Yes. Thank you for the positive vibes that you're putting out there through your music.
Oh,
really, thank you. Because there's a lot of that on the CD.
And again, we're not saying this just because you're in the studio. This is a great album.
It is.
If you're listening to us right now, go to stevedawsonmusic.com. Buy this album. It belongs in your collection.
That's right.
It really does.
Yes.
And come back and see us this summer.
Yeah.
Really. And bring Diane with you.
We'd love to.
Gosh, what a treat to have you in studio with us tonight.
The pleasure's all mine.
Oh, golly. Steve Dawson, he's going to be popping up maybe in your neighborhood. He's going to be at Horner Park. He's going to be at Fitzgerald's. He's going to be at Space in Evanston.
You can't escape him.
So follow him, Steve Dawson. You can link from our Facebook page, take you right to his page, too.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman of WGN Radio.
I'm not sure why this makes me nervous.
Well, I think on the heels of all of the outages and things that we've been hearing about, we're going to talk computer stuff, boys and girls, and we're joined by Dr. Patrick Crisman, the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC. And more importantly, Joseph's daddy.
That's right.
And Joseph is coming to town.
Yeah.
In a few days.
Yeah.
Stay hey, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Woohoo!
How are you?
You know, I'm trying to figure out what we would be talking about this week. This has been probably one of the most boring tech weeks ever. I can't imagine. This is
Nothing going on. Nothing to see here.
Nothing going on.
Oh, my gosh. Middle of the night, I woke up and I opened my phone and said, What? The markets are affected by this outage? And honestly, Patrick, until this happened, I had never heard of CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike is actually, well, you explain what CrowdStrike is.
Well, there actually were two outages. Remember, coming on Thursday, there was Microsoft Azure.
Oh, yes.
So what is happening is, imagine that we want to have Steve and Johnny Guitar Works. And we want to have our own little company and sort of set up the servers and everything. Two ways to do it. We can go and out and buy the servers and set them up and run them locally in-house, or we can go hire somebody to do that for us. And that's what happens with Microsoft Azure, is it's cloud computing. You go and pay Microsoft to host things for you. Around 5 p.m. on Thursday, they had a problem where they went down and users weren't able to get into, well, anything. They couldn't get an Xbox, they couldn't get a Defender, Intune, Teams, Power BI, Fabric, you name it. Everything was down. And it turns out that someone on the Azure team accidentally said, hey, you know, we've got these hard drive storage clusters over here and we've got the compute over here. Let's disconnect those two and see what happens. And
what?
Well, it just went down. It was a mistake.
Wow.
A few hours later, CrowdStrike decided to push their update. Let me explain what's going on. This happened around 11 p.m. Chicago time on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand what CrowdStrike does and why companies would pay a company like CrowdStrike. I have a small shop at USC where my team is responsible for maintaining and supporting about 250 computers. And I need to make sure that all those computers don't have any antivirus on it. Now, I can't just go and put an antivirus on it. I need some sort of way to look in those computers, not to read the files, but to make sure that there are policies on it that are making sure the computers did, and I need to know what versions of things are on their computers, if there are any vulnerabilities. So I need special elevated access to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I hire a company, CrowdStrike is one of them, SentinelOne is another one that we use at USC, that give me an antivirus, but it's a corporate antivirus that I put in on all my computers, and it automatically updates, but it also gives me the ability to go in and say, okay, I'm managing these computers remotely. Around 11 p.m. Chicago time on Thursday, they pushed an update that had a bad problem with it. It was pointing to an invalid region of memory, which caused all of the Windows PCs that received the update to automatically start rebooting over and over again and go to a blue screen of death.
And there's nothing like the blue screen of death, right?
It's terrible. And this is one of those things where you can't restart your way out of this thing because your computer never finishes booting because it's got this invalid thing pointing in memory to a protected part of memory. And it was just like, nope, I give up. And it just crashed and burned. So this was not a cyber attack, but what happened was CrowdStrike pushed an update on Friday morning, Thursday night Chicago time, that caused millions of computers to start rebooting. Now, this is not home users. Very few home users will be impacted because home users don't use CrowdStrike. This really is corporate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
300 of the Fortune 500 companies use CrowdStrike as their antivirus, and named like all of the airlines save Southwest, because Southwest is still using punch cards.
We were reading something about Southwest, and is it true that, and I'm not making this up, apparently one of the reasons Southwest wasn't impacted is because in this day of Windows 11, Southwest is still using Windows 3.1.
And Windows 95. We were laughing at them back
yes.
at Christmas time when they had their major updates, major outages. And it's like, how can you be this backwards? And it's like, thank God you're this backwards.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
But this is one of those things where here's where the thing gets really, really scary. You get the blue screen of death. It looks like it didn't go to all of the CrowdStrike computers. It was only about 8.5 million Windows devices.
Wow.
Again, these are corporate computers.
Yeah.
So it's about 1% of all Windows machines in the wild. But again, what ends up happening is for you to fix this problem, you need to have an IT person put his hand on the computer, boot it into safe boot, remove a specific file, and it's about 3 minutes per device. And imagine how many computers there are at the hospitals,
yeah.
or how many computers there are at banks or at the airports. And this is going to take a long time to fix.
Wow.
So that's why everybody was upset on Friday was, you know, wait a minute, what's going on? Why can't I get it? And there was no fix for it short of actually putting your hands on the computer and removing a specific file. That's assuming you can get into safe boot and if you weren't running BitLocker and you knew the keys to get into the computer. And this was as bad a mistake as I've seen in computers in a long time.
Wow.
Why the folks at CrowdStrike pushed an update on a Friday morning is silly. Why they didn't test this better is embarrassing. This is just catastrophic, and it's going to be in the billions of dollars. I'm not sure CrowdStrike survives this.
Yeah.
Well, one of my questions, you just addressed something that I've been wondering about. I would assume, never assume, but I would assume that before you do this kind of a thing, part of your process would be to test it. So,
Not only would you test this, but you also do A/B testing where you say, okay, I'm going to put it on this group of computers first. Not going to put it on this group of computers. I'm going to roll it out staged. I'm going to make sure there's no problems. It doesn't look like they did that, and that's just stunning. This is not the first time they've done things like this. They actually did it to a version of Unix earlier this year, CrowdStrike did. Nobody noticed because not a lot of people were using that version of Unix. So I'm looking forward to the root cause analysis for this. I think we're going to see a lot of lessons learned, and I think a lot of people are going to be looking at other companies to move off of CrowdStrike and to go to SentinelOne or to Microsoft or to one of the other vendors that are out there.
And that's understandable, especially when you look to the guy who is the head honcho at CrowdStrike. In the middle of the night when this story broke, I went to X to see, okay, what's being said? And he made a statement. And he said, CrowdStrike is actively working with customers impacted by a defect found in a single content update for Windows host. Macs and Linux hosts are not impacted. This is not a security incident or cyber attack. The issue has been identified, isolated, and a fix has been deployed. We refer customers to the support portal. Well, let me tell you.
What is the word you do not see in that statement, Patrick?
You do not see the word.
Sorry.
Exactly. And let me tell you, in the middle of the night, the comments were coming in hot and heavy from around the world. People were saying, hey, buddy, at least you could do is apologize for the fact that I can't open my business today.
And even tonight, we're hearing stories from O'Hare and Midway that there are still Tons of planes still being impacted by that.
And Patrick, did you say when he said that Max and Linux are not affected, are you saying that that's not true?
No, it's absolutely true. Max and Linux boxes are not impacted by this problem. There was a version of Linux that CrowdStrike posted an update to earlier this year that caused similar issues, but this is a different issue.
But now I thought
if a Macintosh, you don't have to worry about this. And again, if you're a home user, this doesn't impact you other than the businesses that you go and do business with who are using CrowdStrike because they need to. It's good security practice to have some sort of central thing. And so, you know, you're seeing banks, hospitals.
Drive-thrus. There were even some drive-thrus,
The ability for you to pay with the Apple Pay on some devices, not because it's an Apple Pay issue, but because those little terminals are connected to Windows boxes. Those Windows boxes are running CrowdStrike.
A listener says, the state of Illinois was affected. I was in the process of renewing license plate stickers, and Illinois Secretary of State program stopped working after midnight. There's a whole lot of that. I mean, there are people who, I know we heard from a couple of our musician friends who missed gigs because they were just sitting on a plane on the tarmac, and then eventually their flight was canceled, and they said, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it to Portland or San Francisco because I'm sitting on a plane.
Not to betray any confidences, but we had a memorial service today for a family member, and we're having people flying in from around the country, and they were supposed to come in the day before today, and they were delayed.
Stranded.
Because they couldn't get anywhere. And this was Dallas-Fort Worth and O'Hare and other airports. They just could not get out because the airlines were down.
Wow.
And we've heard stories of broadcast outlets that were impacted by this, too.
Very big deal.
It's just catastrophic. I'm sure we've got to take a break here. We do need to talk about scammers.
Yes.
If you are a corporate customer, just be aware, all of the bad people who know about this are now going to be contacting you saying, hey, I've got this patch you need to install on your computer.
Oh.
Hey, I'm from CrowdStrike, and let me have you go and install this. Or, hey, I'm from CrowdStrike, can you give me a credit card number? And just be aware, there are going to be so many scammers talking about CrowdStrike. If you want to talk to CrowdStrike, you can contact them directly. If you want to contact Microsoft directly. This is not a Microsoft issue. This is a CrowdStrike issue. It just impacts Microsoft. It takes advantage of the fact that Microsoft does some things in their operating system that are really kind of silly, but we won't get into that.
This is us not getting into that.
Dr. Patrick Crispin is our guest. He joins us twice a month to talk tech. We'll take a break and come right back with him here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and that's for a 773 area code that said, hope you're going to play Cyberspace by AC/DC. Well, yeah, so the
just to
other request
Johnny.
Line.
Just to aggravate Johnny, right?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Patrick, we had an interesting text from a 630 area code. Deanna wants to know, were company VPNs affected? My DIL couldn't work from home, but the PCs at her office were okay.
So daughter-in-law could not work from home, but the PCs at her office were okay.
It wouldn't have taken down the VPN unless the VPN was working, was running CrowdStrike. So this is basically really endpoint problems, an endpoint problem. So it's basically the Windows boxes that are out there that are running CrowdStrike. Unless you're connecting to a VPN that's running on a specific Windows box, which you wouldn't want to do, no, I think that might just be a different problem. Again, once one of these things happens, a lot of things kind of break in other places, and you kind of say, is that related or not? And
right.
sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. And in this case, I can't see that being related.
Yeah.
That's me.
But again, it was not a cyber attack.
Right.
So that was different, unlike the AT&T story, which has yet another layer to it. Right, Patrick?
Yeah. So back in March, we were talking about how AT&T discovered that there was a breach, and they went and reset everybody's four-digit passcodes. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't what we're talking about. Apparently, AT&T, going back and looking at the March breach, said, huh, look at that. It looks like there's a different breach going on in April. And they kind of tracked it down, and on July 12th, in a filing with the SEC, they announced, quote, a data breach has exposed phone and text message records for approximately, here's a number, ready, 110 million people. Pretty much, if you're an AT&T customer, and if you had any communication with an AT&T customer, very likely you're going to be included in this breach as well. Basically, it was any customer call and text interactions between May 1st and October 31st, 2022, and then also on January 2nd, 2023. And what ended up happening was the people had downloaded sort of the... Do you remember the old long-distance telephone bills we used to get?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Where you would have that multiple pages in it,
yep.
and it showed the date and the time and who you called. And
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
That's really what they downloaded here was that information. They didn't actually listen to any telephone calls. They didn't see any text messages. What they downloaded was the equivalent of that phone bill, and showed who contacted who for how long, and who texted who. And the other thing that was included in it was also the cell tower locations that were used, which could technically be used to triangulate where somebody is calling from. It's not including the content of the calls, not including the content of your text, not including social security numbers or any personal information like that. It's really kind of just the phone bill metadata that was downloaded, and just be aware of it. It's out there. 110 million people have their information.
Yeah, and on the heels of the earlier breach, it's just like, okay, stop. We got to learn from these things. Patrick Crispin is our guest. We're going to take a break for news and come back. Got a lot more ground to cover in the world of tech with Patrick here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking computer technology, cyberspace, outages, breaches. And before we move on, let's talk. You know, I may need, I think I need a little reverb on this.
Uh-oh.
Patrick, we need to address Grok.
Do we have to?
Yeah, really.
Grok.
Okay.
What's a stupid name? I'm sorry. It's just stupid.
Grok.
I mean, it actually is a science fiction thing. It's from Robert Heinlein's 1961 novel, Stranger in a Strange Land.
Mm-hmm.
And in the computer industry, if you say you grok something, it means you don't just understand it, but it's really now part of you. You identified it. It's so deeply ingrained in who you are that it's part of your identity. So when somebody groks something, I don't just understand it. It's like, it is me. I own this. I know it deeply and personally. So Elon Musk, when he was getting into AI after saying, no, we need to stop for 6 months because I'm behind. Sorry, did I say that out loud? decided that he was going to roll out his own AI program, a chat box, chatbot called Grok. It is XAI is the company, and it's an AI search assistant with a, quote, twist of humor. It's anti-woke, according to Elon Musk. And Grok has been around since last November. Grok 1.5 came out in April. And if you are a premium user of X.com, formerly Twitter, Grok is built into it. And it has a lot of features that are coming out, coming available to you. New version of Grok is coming out later on this year in August, called Grok 2. Elon has bought, I think, 20,000 NVIDIA graphical processing units for that. Grok 3 is coming out later on. They're saying the end of the year, the next year. It's going to be 100,000 GPUs. And the idea is that if you are an X.AI, or sorry, X.com member, in other words, a Twitter user, and you pay for it, there are some features that are going to be showing up more and more as AI is going to be embedded into Twitter slash X. One of them is the Explore tab. The Explore tab is going to create news headlines and summaries based on what's trending on the platform. And the goal of here of this is actually kind of positive. I appreciate this, which is it wants to kind of combine breaking news and social commentary about big stories and sort of give you a computation live and show you, hey, here's everything you need to know about this, and allow you to go and have conversation with other people about it. Elon Musk has said that this sort of explore part is not going to look directly at article text and instead going to rely on social posts. But here are the problems with that.
Yep.
And the problems with that are the people who are posting on X.com, formerly Twitter, are, well, they're edgelords. They like posting funny things, silly things, and it's not necessarily news. So What ends up happening is you have this AI that is promoting jokes or rumors, and what you think is news is actually somebody saying something funny and it getting repeated over and over again, and the AI is not smart enough to know that that's not actual news. Right. That's people, you know, making garbage posts. A great example of this was happened when there was the assassination attempt the other day. And if you went to X.com, I did delete my account, but I went and created a new account just so I could get in using my spam account. And went in, and there was a lot of misinformation, yep. a lot of lies, that this Explore tab was promoting, because the AI said, well, everyone is saying that a Home Alone 2 star shot Donald Trump. And it was like, no, what was happening was Donald Trump was in Home Alone 2, and he was shot, but the AI didn't know that, and it was promoting that as being the big story. So just be aware, it's pushing that. Some other things that are actually kind of positive is that when you see a user on XAI or X.com, you'll be able to get more information about it. That will be AI-generated. You'll be able to highlight text in X posts, and it will do a search for it. And like a lot of, you're seeing a lot of tools out there, they're saying, hey, can you write something for me? Say, hey, make a post about, you know, what's happening in Silesia with the jute farmers. I'm making stuff up here. And it will then come up with something and write it for you and post it. The thing is that there's a fun mode for Grok intended to produce more satirical and juvenile takes on the news. And if you're going to X.com thinking that you're getting real news or stuff that's on the ground, this is going to be more like 4chan than it is, you know, CNN or Fox.
See,
it's a lot of bad news.
I would be in favor of something like this if I could say, if I could actively be involved and say, here are my five most trusted sites, for you to glean information from. Gather it together, because I am so darn busy, I can't go to all these sites. So, Grok, get this all together for me. Get the CNN and the Tribune and, you know, the five things that I most trust. And that's where you get the news from. But that's not what's happening. And that's just... And it makes me angry, because I know we've said this before. There was a time whenever there was a news story, that's where I went. I went to Twitter, now X, because that's where other journalists were, and you could get information right then and there.
Yeah, pre-Musk, Twitter was the go-to source for breaking news.
And it's just sad that
a lot of the news people have left and are now over on Blue Sky or on Threads.
Yep.
And what you have now are a lot of the edgelords who are there posting crypto scams and, you know, very far right wing, you know, Nazi stuff. There literally are open Nazis on Twitter, X, and it's being promoted. And it's like, okay. And if that's what you're looking for, I think that's going to be great. I think for a lot of other people, they're going to be looking for other sources, and the other sources are going to be, you know, Blue Sky and Threads.
Yeah.
Or another site that I've been checking out, and I haven't paid for this yet, but if you check out ground.news.
No,
I've never heard of it.
It's a subscription site. I'm not sure I'm going to pay for it, but it's sort of like a daily news summary. And what it does is it tells you, underneath each article, how many of the left-leaning news sites are covering a particular story, how many in the center-leaning news sites are covering a story, and how many in the right-leaning news sites are covering a story. And you can then see sort of, okay, the idea is you're going to look for your blind spots to say, okay, if all I'm getting is news from right channels, what is being talked about in the left channels? Or if all I get is information from the left channels, what's being talked about in the right channels? It's interesting.
Who is behind
how they're doing this?
Who is behind ground.news?
I'm still learning about it. I don't know. We'll talk about it next time, I promise. But because I think this is ground.news, I'm intrigued. I haven't pulled out my wallet yet.
Well, but wait a minute. You get essential service. You get essential information, $9.99 for a year.
Totally free.
Or 83 cents a month. Or you can go up to the most popular, I guess, service, which is premium, which is $29.99 for the year. For dedicated readers who want to dive deeper, a premium subscription helps you rise above misleading narratives and sensational reporting while saving you time and energy. This is very interesting.
Okay, but I'm going to throw an old school thought in here. What about refdesk.com?
Whatever happened to Refdesk?
They're still around.
Really?
Refdesk was a go-to site that we used for years and we haven't talked about. In a nutshell, you go to it and you can scan down and you can see who's talking about what right now, what the headlines are on British newspapers, on U.S. newspapers all over the world. It's still out there. You can get almanac and news information. It's refdesk.com.
Well, we used to use RefDesk for
our morning almanac, for one thing.
And for our front page news, because I could say on the front page of the London Times, this is the story today. And so we could compare the front pages. I honestly did not know they were still in existence.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up. The guy behind RefDesk was the brother of, help me, Johnny, talk show host.
Yeah. It'll come to us. We'll shout it out when it comes to us.
Yeah.
But I'm there and it still looks the same as it did forever.
Yeah.
That's wild. I'm very intrigued.
One more site for you if you got a second.
Yeah, sure. I like Ground, though. I'm looking at that. That is really cool.
Ground.news is intriguing. I need to dive into it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it next time.
Good.
I'll tell you the one that I turn to all the time on the technology side is TechMeme, M-E-M-E, .com, TechMeme.com. And what it does is, it's fascinating how they... is that they'll go and say, okay, here's a particular news story, and that's technology related. For example, the first news story right now is Microsoft estimates a CrowdStrike's update affected 8.5 million devices, or less than 1% of Windows machines. And then further down beneath it are more links to Reuters, Bloomberg, The Verge. Oh. Everybody else is talking about it. By the way, if you hold your mouse over any of these links, it gives you sort of the headline that you would click on and get more info. Beneath that are then links by thought leaders on Threads, Mastodon, X, LinkedIn, and other forums out there. And again, if I hold my mouse over Kylie Robeson on Threads, it's like CrowdStrike mood board, blah, blah, blah. John Crumbler is the next one, which is actually Casey Newton. And it's fantastic for me to keep up to date with the latest tech news. And not only what the official news are is, but who's talking about it online. I mean, these like nobody people. I mean, you'll have Kara Swisher, you'll have, you know, Elon Musk is going to show up on some of these things. It's really a fascinating.
I like that
look, and
yeah,
I love this site. This is my daily go to.
Really,
techmeme.com.
Tech Meme. And the other one that we're talking about is Ground News. And I would just suggest, for the time being, just take Grok out of your... Just take it out. Yeah, don't waste any time with it.
And quite seriously, take a look at refdesk.com.
Yeah.
You can scroll down, and they break things into... There's their site of the day, the fact of the day. They have an auto news feed. They have today's daily diversions, news features, news sources, headlines, weather, every news site you can think of, newspapers from all over the world, and opinions and editorials. It's refdesk.com. I think we need to get back to using this a little more, because they're really a good... sort of a, it's a reference for everything that's going on, literally.
Yeah, as the title says.
And Patrick, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the some apps that may expose your contacts or your photos.
There was a news story that came out earlier this week, and it was kind of fascinating, where J.D. Vance was, his Venmo contacts had been shared publicly, and a lot of people wondered how this has happened. And the answer is, when you install the Venmo app or a lot of other apps on your mobile device, one of the first questions they ask you is, do you want us to see all your contacts? And they're not going to be as blunt as that. It's like, do you want to see how many of your other friends are using this? And when you click on that, you are sharing your entire phone book with the app company. Or when it says, oh, do you want to be able to share photos or whatever, it's giving those companies access to all of your photos. So what happened is J.D. Vance installed Venmo on his computer, and then it uploaded, because he said, yes, here are all my contacts. It uploaded his entire contact information.
Hmm.
That's kind of frightening for a lot of people, and you're kind of saying, wow, that's a security breach. Not really. You gave them permission. So
right.
When you're downloading apps and you install an app on your phone and it says, do you want me to look in your contacts? You got to say no. I always say no. And when you say, do you want me to have access to your photos? I said, no, I'll choose which photos you get to see if I have to upload a photo. Because, again, I don't want all of my photos going to some third party. It's not that I have anything nefarious in my photos.
Right.
But I don't want my photos training somebody's AI, and I don't want it to get out, you know, the pictures that I took in London.
Sure.
Those are for my friends and family. They're not for some third-party company that I might not deal with. Or whoever buys that company in the future and decides, ooh, okay, well, we've just bought this company. Let's go see what data they have on their server.
Right.
We just
just bought.
Well, I often think that when they ask the question, can we access or can I access or can this site access your contacts, I think, uh-oh, I'm not going to let that happen, so I'm not going to be able to use it, and I back away. So I guess I didn't realize you had a choice.
Yeah, a lot of the places say, you know, do you want us to do this? And I say, no, I don't. I have absolutely no interest in you seeing my entire telephone contact list.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to segue a little bit, but I'm signaling for a turn. There's a real interesting story, and this gets into a little bit of a legal landscape, but it's also technology related. There is a major trial that has been going on in Chicago, and it has to do with ex-House Speaker Michael Madigan. This week, it came out that, and I'm reading this from a Tribune story, lawyers for ex-House Speaker Michael Madigan are offering to pay out of their own pocket for a company to scrub prospective jurors' social media and other public records to ferret out any potential biases before his historic racketeering trial gets underway. And this goes back to something that you told us years ago on Website Wednesday Night. Never write anything on the internet that you're not prepared to see on the front page of the New York Times.
Yep.
As I understand this, what they're doing is not saying, give me your cell phone. They don't need to ask for your cell phone. Anything that you
need to know, they just need to know what your account names are on the social media sites, and then they will go look at all your public posts.
Yep.
By the way, employers are doing this already,
mm-hmm.
And doing a deep dive to see, is this person, you know, obviously they're saying good things, but are they doing things online that might be embarrassing to the company? So, I'm not surprised that this is happening. In fact, I'm certain it's already happening. The courts are reacting angrily, but it's being done. You're going to do a search to see potential jurors, whether or not they have bias, and whether or not they lie on their voir dire.
And the company that that Madigan's lawyers are using apparently is a company that has done this before.
With two federal cases.
There is nothing illegal about what they're doing.
No.
But it really sort of underscores, be careful, be conscious of what you are posting on the internet, in whatever social media form or anything else that is available for public records on the internet.
Unless, like the judge who was interviewed in that story in the Tribune, unless you don't want to be a juror. Because the judge said, look, if you start doing this, people are not going to want to step up to do this. It's going to be really hard for us to get jurors. But again, they're not doing anything illegal.
Yeah.
And they don't have to tell you that they're doing it. And Patrick, you're right. It is happening in employment. It's a regular thing that HR does that as a rule. Before they hire you.
You just want to make sure that the person is who they say they are in their resume, and you're going to want to have the defense attorneys and the prosecution is going to say that, is this a person on the jury questionnaire who actually is saying what they're saying is true?
Yeah.
And you're going to see challenges come from this. It's happening right now.
But Patrick, there was one other, because Johnny went for jury duty this past week, and there was one other very important takeaway that she learned from the Daily Plaza, where she was going, and she went for coffee.
Oh, golly.
And she found out that
I went because they said in the instructions, bring plenty of change so you can get coffee.
Yep.
So I went to a vending machine to put in my $1.50 to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And I waited and waited. And a janitor walked by and he said, ma'am, is your cup in there okay? And I said, excuse me? He says, your cup. I said, what do you mean? I didn't bring a cup with me. You have to bring a cup. What?
So if you're going for jury duty in the Daly Center Plaza,
bring a cup.
Bring your own coffee cup for the vending machine.
I did get what? My, I got my money back, so that was a good thing. But that was a learning experience.
It's a good thing I don't drink coffee.
What? I just looked at him like, really? Can I put my hand under there? I really need this coffee. Could I just get a catch a palm? Nope.
It's all right. Part of the scam.
Yeah.
Thank you. Patrick, thanks a lot. We will see you in a couple of days.
Yay!
I'm
looking forward to it.
We are too. We're really looking forward to it. And the next time Patrick's with us on the program, it will probably be live here in the studio with us. So thank you, Patrick.
And that will be time for the Joseph Show, too.
That's right. Yes.
He's looking forward to it already.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
Take care.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN Radio. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. When's the last time you heard that? Shorty Long, Here Comes the Judge.
Shorty Long.
And that goes back to the idea of that goes back to the Flip Wilson show.
Oh, sure.
Remember the bit that Flip Wilson used to do, Here Comes the Judge? And Julian is glazing over. He has no idea about Flip Wilson. You should do a search for Flip Wilson and Flip Wilson's old TV shows.
Such a funny man.
Just incredibly funny man. And he did this bit about Here Comes the Judge. And then there was, of course, Pygmy Markham also was a huge comedian in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Played places like the Regal Theater in Chicago. He did a whole Here Comes the Judge bit. In fact, he was even on The Tonight Show doing that. But then
Pygmy.
Then when that whole Here Come the Judge trend was going on, Shorty Long came up with this. But why are we doing this? Because Johnny was called for jury duty this week.
Yes, at the Daly Plaza. I bring this up because I know I was not chosen as a juror. Only three of our group, after 10 hours, was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge was wonderful, Judge Trevino. Was had a great disposition. He was always kind of he was always complimentary to the people who were there as prospective jurors. He was at least three or four times. He said, "Again, I want to thank you for coming here because I know we had lawyers, we had a couple of doctors in the audience, we had people who had full time jobs, we had people who had people picking up their kids." Because that's what they normally do, but they were sitting there in the Daly Plaza. And I loved his disposition. But I share this with you in case you do get called for jury duty. You can take a thermos with you. Mm-hmm. You can take your own beverage with you.
As long as there are no ice cubes.
As long as there's no ice, because ice makes noise. So, you can bring your Starbucks, you can bring your thermos, you can bring your mug so you can go to the vending machine, as I did, put your money in. Because I read all the fine print and it said, bring change for the vending machine. So I had a pocket full of change for that very reason.
But the other thing you found, because you call me, I dropped Johnny down in the morning and then I went back home and then I picked her up at night. But for lunch, Johnny called me and you had no idea where to go to get.
Because we only had 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And by the time you come down the stairs or down the elevator and, you know.
So take a sandwich with you.
You walk around and you're like, okay, if I go over there and stand in line because it's noon, I'm never going to be in and out of there and able to eat my sandwich in the next 32 minutes. So I just said, well, never mind that. I'll go find a vending machine. And that's how I ended up.
But you did post
coffee machine.
Some pictures of the boxing match that was going on out on the Daly Plaza.
Chicago Park District had their boxing students out there boxing. I took some pictures that I posted of the flags, including the Cook County flag, which, as I said on Facebook, I was absent that day when we unveiled a new Cook County flag. And that was in 22, just 2 years ago. It was a flag that was designed by a student from Glenbrook North, maybe it was Glenbrook South, but it was a high school student that designed it. And there's a reason for the design is symbolic of the Chicago River and the stars. And then you've got the Chicago flag and you've got the U.S. flag. And anyway, it was just lovely being in the plaza itself for a few minutes and looking over to the Channel 2 new studios with their big screen. Mm-hmm. And it was just, everybody was in a good mood. It was a perfect, picture-perfect day.
It was a gorgeous day.
Oh, it was. And that was part of the reason why it was difficult to be inside for 10 hours, because you just knew outside it was a Board of Tourism kind of day. But from my experience, I'm telling you, if you do get called, take something to eat, take something to drink, because you can do that. And you can bring your phone with you. You are allowed, the judge will tell you when you're allowed to look at your phone. You're not allowed to do any research on the case that you are being considered for, right. And that's understandable. The case I was being considered for was a multi-million dollar case. It will probably be front page news. And for that reason, the lawyers were taking their time to get their jurors. And mm-hmm. on my day, only three were chosen. The day before, only one person was chosen.
And you were told that this case is probably going to go into early August.
Yeah, August 7th. So you had to be able to stay for at least that period of time. Also, you no longer get $17.50. You get $35. And they give you a check at the end of the day. And if you get chosen as a juror, this surprised me, you're going to get a continental breakfast and a lunch every day. You're not sequestered, so you're going home. Mm-hmm. But they understand that it's hard for you to leave the building and go someplace and eat in a short period of time. So they actually make mm-hmm. something available to you. Whether or not you want to eat it, that's a different story. But I had not been called to the Daily Plaza before. I'd been called to 26th and California before, mm-hmm. which is a different world completely. Yeah. And I'd also been called at a suburban courthouse. Mm-hmm. I did not serve on that trial because they did not want anybody from media. So they asked us very early on, anybody here a reporter or a member right. of media? And so when we raised our hands, we got to leave mm-hmm. right away. They said, no, we're not going to waste your time. That wasn't the case. As I say, it was 10 hours. And at 5 o'clock, they turned the AC off in the Daily building, which is kind of crazy because people are still there. I'm sure that there's some courts where people are... The trial is still going on after 5 o'clock.
And what is it about most courtrooms and doctor's offices? The ventilation is such that you, if you're not sleepy when you walk
you
into the room,
sleepy.
10 minutes into the courtroom, the doctor's office, and you'll be...
I know. Well, actually, though, for a good 7 of the 10 hours, we were all being interviewed. So we were kind of like on the edge of our seat because I thought, oh, are they going to choose us like you're in the classroom? You don't want them to say, you, juror number 37, have you ever been touched by cancer? Okay. You then have to tell your story. So we were like all kind of on the edge of our seat. So I can't say that we ever got nappy in that room. And in fact, when we got a break, we said, do you feel like you're in class? Because I'm a little scared when they point at me. And I said, yeah.
That's interesting because one jury that I was called for, they were asking questions. And has anybody ever been? And I started relating, and the judge immediately said, don't say another word.
Mm.
You're off the jury.
Wow.
Because I had in... I think it was relatively familiar experience with what they were dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was expecting that to happen throughout the day. We were all kind of going, oh, this is my chance. When I answer the question, they're going to tell me to go home. And that did not happen. But all in all, it was a good experience. It was a learning experience.
But also, if they say, for example, Johnny was told, be there at 8:30 and you'll be out at 4:30. So...
Yeah,
because I didn't want Johnny to try and take an Uber or something home. I figured, okay.
And I didn't want to park. It would cost the $35 that I was going to make.
So I came down. And by the way, if you're going to come down ahead of time, we got so lucky. We were driving down about 7 o'clock and mm-hmm. really just zipped right down here. after I dropped you off, I was driving home, and oh boy, am I glad we went down at the time we did. Then when I came back down, because it was supposed to be, Johnny would be there from 8:30 till 4:30. So, okay, about a quarter to four, I head down, get down here by about 4:30. And from 4:30 till very close to 6 o'clock, I was driving around the Daly Center Plaza.
It's a wonder they didn't arrest you for just, like, trolling. Seriously.
I got very familiar with Channel 2's big news screen, and I would see a new headline every time I went around.
Yeah, and...
I mention that because... Just because they say, here are the time parameters, that does not mean you will actually be leaving at that time if they haven't decided that you're going to be picked or not.
Right, right. And if you have questions, I was surprised because I did have questions before I went down there. You can call and a human being actually picks up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I called about. Oh, I called to see if we could change the venue because I wanted to be at a different venue than downtown. And they said, oh, well, no. Actually, you have to send us a letter requesting a change of venue. And I thought, well, that's kind of old school. And you wonder where it ends up, you know, with all the mail that they probably get daily. But that's what they told me when I called. And I did actually talk to a person. And I said, oh, well, never mind. See you tomorrow. I'll be there. And I was not trying to get out of it. I was just trying to find a place that would be easier to get to than the Daly Plaza. But you can see, actually, I didn't put those pictures up on our Steve and Johnny page, did I?
No, you didn't. You put them up on your personal page.
I did, yeah. Maybe I'll sneak a couple of those in because I do have pictures of our trip into work tonight, as well as a picture of our early guest this evening. Alice Selke was with us to celebrate her 106th birthday.
So go to the Steve and Johnny page on Facebook, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show.
Mm-hmm. And you can find all that. We're going to take a break. We are into the last hour of the show. It's just slipping right by. So stay with us here on WGN.
Oh, well, this is going to leave. You want me to say that I want you to stay. So you should probably leave.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Love that song. Chris Stapleton, and You Should Probably Leave.
Good stuff. I love his guitar playing, too.
Yeah. He was in town tonight.
With George Strait.
Yeah.
And Little Big Town at Soldier Field. I'm looking at some reviews, informal reviews from people saying it was great. The weather was perfect. The sound could have been better. I don't remember people complaining about sound with the Stones concert. I don't recall seeing one person complaining about it.
In fact, if anything, and we saw a lot of YouTube videos from that concert, and the sound was really good.
People, even in the nosebleed seats, were pleased with the sound. That's interesting because, and again, this is like three or four people that said the sound could have been better. The night was perfect. The lineup was outstanding. Loved the music, but the sound could have been better. And then a bunch of people chimed in and said, yeah, but isn't that always the case at Soldier Field? And I don't think it is always the case.
No, but any outdoor venue is hard to mic.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some great concerts at Soldier Field. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer was a wonderful concert there.
That was how many years ago? What was that, 70s?
Yes.
Okay.
They were very popular, so popular that we got to Soldier Field like at 10 o'clock in the morning for a show that didn't start till probably 4 or 5 in the evening. And... It was a long time sitting in the sun, but it was worth it.
I've just never had the patience to do that.
I know.
I'm just, okay, concerts at 5, okay, I'll be there at
4:30. Yes.
Or 4, you know, to be fair, to get in and give yourself enough time to get acclimated.
Well, there was... I'm just remembering, and I don't think this person is listening right now. I happened to go to the concert with someone who was very, very much opposed to marijuana. Little did I know that he was allowed in to the concert with a knapsack, which they checked, and they let him in. If only they had told me, I was going to be mortified when he pulled the gas mask out and put a freaking gas mask on in the concert so that people sitting around us who were enjoying a little weed would have to look at him wearing a real gas mask. And I thought, why? Why didn't someone at the gate tell me, you have come to this concert with a wacko, a crazy man?
You've told me this story, but you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Speaking of a concert where you may smell a little bit of weed.
Yeah.
Remember the night, I want to say it was a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Schreiner, Grateful Dead.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Just that he went to the concert and he was...
Oh, he got a contact high from just...
He was kind of concerned because he'd never been to...
Oh, that's right.
The Grateful Dead. He didn't know anything about the Grateful Dead.
Yes.
He was just there because it was a news thing and he was covering it. And he calls us.
And he was afraid he was high.
Yeah.
That's right. He says, do you think I'm okay to drive home?
And again, for those of you who haven't been here for the length of time that we have, Larry Schreiner, wonderful newsman,
yes,
wonderful human being, sadly passed away several years ago. But he was, when we first started working at WGN back in 1984-85, when we were doing the all-night show, if Larry called up, our producers knew Larry goes on now.
Now.
Because Larry was out in the middle of the night covering news. At that time, Larry was the one who was doing all of the footage for all of the TV stations in this market. He had literally, and this is back in the days of video cassettes, he had a video cassette duplicator in the back of his car.
Which was a big old Mercedes sedan.
And he would be driving from whatever event he just covered, driving and dropping off a tape for Channel 7, for Channel 9, for Channel 5. They were all from Larry Schreiner's footage.
Right. And he was working with a video camera that was a big honking machine that you carried on your shoulder. And as you say, he had the duplicating equipment in the back seat of the car. That took up the entire back seat.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you'd probably do this on your phone.
And Larry was so savvy. He would, if there was a major news story in a not wonderful neighborhood, when he got to the neighborhood, he would look around and he would pick out the meanest looking guy he could find and tell that guy that he would get whatever amount of money Larry was paying him if he would watch his
car. And he never had a problem with that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a book in Larry Schreiner.
Yeah.
And his son is a journalist now, which is just appropriate.
In fact, if you would like to read a little more about Larry, go to our blog, and that's stevenjohnny.wordpress.com. And when you get to our blog, just do a search for Larry Schreiner. And after Larry passed away, we did a kind of a lengthy retrospective on Larry and our friendship with him. He was a wonderful guy.
And a character.
As we're preparing for the game plan for the show, we'll look around and try to find some musical, as we call them, bumps that we use as a little introduction to some of the things. And I stumbled on this one thing that I'd never heard this before. I'm not even sure who does it. It's just a quick little song, but I absolutely love this. And this is called The Jury Duty Jam.
You're a go with the flow kind of guy. You get a jury duty summons for the very first time. You report to the court and immediately you meet an X-Man, an inventor, and a sleepy old lady. You are picked juror number 6. It begins, the case is complicated, lawyers don't seem educated, but you hit it off with everyone and they name you the foreperson. You never could have guessed that next you're all sequestered. This might take a while, this is no ordinary trial. Oh no, it's like the Truman Show. These people that you think you know are actually all actors, it's all fake. Everyone's been paid and they all have made you the subject of some kind of experiment that ended with a bang.
learn. You're just a really, really, really good hang.
I love that. I don't know who that is.
They all learn that you're just a really, really, really good hang.
Julian, what do you think of that?
That was fun.
I think that's a hoot.
Did you guys ever watch that?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, the video to it.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
The Prime series about the real guy who was, he thought he was really in jury duty. Everyone else
no.
What was that
what?
From a series?
Well, it looked like it was some kind of promotional material for it.
Really?
No, we didn't, because
they reference the Truman Show, saying yeah. You know, you think that it's really happening, but in fact it's just a movie. And
I was just doing it as I usually do, looking around for jury related songs, and came mm-hmm. across that. And yeah, we've got Amazon Prime, but sadly we have never watched any videos on Amazon Prime. We just, there's only so much time in the week.
And you know what? When you are watching every episode of Blue Bloods, it's hard to find time for anything else in your world.
We're binging back through 14 seasons worth of Blue Bloods.
We've watched season 6, 7, 8. We are in the final episodes of season 9, most of 13, most of 14.
Yeah.
And we were able to go back. There was some channel that was carrying the first season.
Yeah.
And we tuned into it and we both went, I'm not liking this so much. And that took us back to when the show first was on the air.
Yeah.
And we tuned in and we weren't really keen on it. It's the later from...
It took it a while to find its footing.
Its rhythm.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, we're obsessed. We watch like 2 or 3 hours a night into the wee hours of the morning. And there were storms on Monday night.
So we didn't get all of the episodes.
No.
They were interrupted, satellite disruptions.
We got
so
halfway
we need to go
through.
Back and,
oh, man. So we can pay $2.99 if we want to see those episodes, but I'd rather just wait till they eventually come around.
Yeah.
It has become an obsession. I told you the other day, I woke up from a sound sleep, and the theme song was going through my head. And it's like, I want to go to New York. You got to take me to New York, and we've got to get a meeting with Tom Selleck, the commissioner.
It's a weird form of mind candy.
But it deals with issues. I mean, it's very timely. Even if you go back to, you know, season 6.
And what I like about, one of the many things I like about it is, as they're delving into issues, they really do present both sides.
They do. And I said to you the other day, the show kind of goes out of its way to balance male-female. There are a lot of strong females in the show,
yeah.
too. I feel silly because it looks like the show's going to end. But there's a rumor floating this week that it might not. Once again, they're kind of throwing out that
I think it's going to end and they may do a spinoff.
That's what they're saying, yeah. But they haven't, no one knows who's going to be the subject of the spinoff. And so they
and
want people
some rumors,
talking about it.
Some rumors that Selleck may go back and do, what was the Western thing he did? Only
really?
For a couple seasons.
No.
Yeah.
He can't do that. He has, as we've observed watching these seasons, you can see how he's gone from being a pretty athletic-looking guy to having difficulty moving.
What I find fascinating is every now and then we see a promo for him on Magnum, and between Magnum and Blue Bloods, his voice has dropped about 6 octaves.
It's crazy. I told you it's those tight jeans he wore in Magnum. That's why his voice was so high. But when it comes to him, he is plagued with various forms of arthritis, I understand.
Yeah.
So there are times
seriously.
You actually are seeing a stand-in walking away.
Usually when
away,
you see him get up and walking away.
And when you watch, as we are watching series that take you over a period of years, you can see that he went from being an active star of the show to always sitting. He's always behind a desk, or he's at the restaurant, or he's at the bar. And if he stands up to walk away, you go, oh, that's the stand-in there. Yeah, that's tough, too. Because we recently saw him on CBS Sunday Morning, and he was interviewed, and he didn't seem he never talked about his health, but it's I don't think he ever addressed that.
And as a matter of fact, he was outside walking along
around,
with the interviewer.
With no help, no assistance, no walking stick or anything like that. So that was kind of interesting. Anyway, that is our obsession. And people have texted and said, I missed this particular episode. What happened? And sadly, I can tell you exactly what happened because I'm hanging on to every word of it.
But I like a lot of the characters, and I like that they are defined, particularly as the seasons progress, they become more defined, and there's just some really interesting relationships.
That's why it's been in the top 10 from day one, and that's why Tom Selleck says, why are you dropping us? We have been performing.
And I think it's as simple as expense.
Probably.
It's cheaper for them to say, we're going to do a spinoff. So now the budget is cut. We're going back to ground zero.
Even though they've all taken a pay cut. He gets $200,000 an episode, and that was with a pay cut.
Yeah.
And Wahlberg, I think he gets $175,000, and that was an episode, and that was after taking a pay cut. So you're right, and it's a big cast. And it would be much easier to take two of them, I guess.
Yeah, because how many regular? It isn't like a one or two. It's not like a Rockford Files with Rockford and his father and girlfriend.
It's about 10 people that are regulars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's the latest on Blue
Bloods. Pardon me, but I don't feel sorry for CBS.
No.
Somehow, I think they're making enough money.
Yeah. And speaking of CBS, as we said earlier tonight when we were spending some time talking about Bob Newhart, there is going to be a special on Monday night on CBS. They get it, finally. You know, when someone like a Bob Newhart passes away, you've got the material. And I guess it was Entertainment Tonight.
Entertainment Tonight came to CBS because Entertainment Tonight is syndicated largely through CBS-owned stations. And they said, look, we've got so much file footage, we can put together a good special. So it's going to be about a two-hour special on Monday night.
Monday night, yeah. Yeah, very cool.
There's so much stuff we didn't get to. I want to just quickly mention one of the things we didn't get to, the anniversary of the 1969 moon landing.
Yes, yes. And I hate to admit it, but my maternal grandfather, to the day he died, refused to believe that that actually happened. Bless his heart. I mean, he was just sure.
And there are some people that still don't believe it happened.
I was like, Granddaddy, really? Of course, he was a colorful character. As they say, God bless him.
What am I?
Oh,
I hear the Zamboni. Oh, and the lights are starting to flicker.
It has a little dust on it because it didn't run last week.
Yep.
Because we weren't here to mess up the joint.
Yeah.
So tonight it has to get cleaned up just in time for the Dean Richards show in just a few hours.
So that means if you would like to be our last caller at 312-981-7200, that number again is 312-981-7200.
And we have a brand new prize list here. We have prizes. If you've not won in the last 60 days, in the past 2 months, then you are eligible for prizes. You don't have to have answers to the meaning of life. You just need to be able to
Although if you have one, I'd be curious to hear it.
Just, be able to sit up and hold a phone. That's all we need.
That works.
And mutter a few words.
Yes.
You can be the cherry on top of our five-hour show. You could be the icing on the cake of our five-hour show.
And you could be our last caller.
You can be, yes. And we will give you stuff if you are that last caller. So 312-981-7200 is our telephone number if you would like to sneak in here before the end of the show here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Really?
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope.
And you can't hear the rest of the song either.
No, that's Red Peters, closing song. If you want to look it up on YouTube, just look up Red Peters and the closing song. Mm-hmm. And you can hear what we never play, what we never will play.
Unless it's our swan song.
Yeah.
And unless we're out of here forever.
Yeah.
Then we play it because we know we'll not be allowed to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is our last call. This show has gone by so fast.
Yeah, it's been a busy show.
Yeah, and you just said to me, I didn't get any snacks tonight. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're right. And I had cheese and crackers packed, mm-hmm. ready for us to snack mm-hmm. on. Never got to
that. And we got to 10 minutes before the show was over before we start talking about food.
I know. And yet, we started the show talking with Julian about, you were at the big taco fest. Right. And in fact, I heard Gabe talking about the fact that roads mm-hmm. in Pilsen were blocked for the big taco fest. And I thought, oh, I'm going to start obsessing over tacos. But no.
In fact, there's a new Mexican restaurant that we're going to try.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. In LaGrange.
It's LaGrange?
A gluten-free Mexican restaurant. Yeah. I don't think it's LaGrange. I'll have to look it up. Anyway, a bunch of people have called in 312-981-7200. We take a random number. And that person becomes our last caller. And since we're back in the house, I'm going to choose, we got a bank of calls. I'm going to go with three.
Okay.
Lucky number three.
Number three would be Peggy. Hi, Peggy. Where are you calling from?
Skokie.
Hey, Peggy. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. So what is it that you do in Skokie?
I work at a nature center. We had a couple of parties we had a clean up for, and I just do miscellaneous things here, little of everything.
The Nature Center, do people rent the Nature Center for parties?
Yeah, you can either use a room inside or a shelter outside for a party.
Give us a blatant plug. Yeah. Where is the Nature Center located?
We know Skokie, but we don't know this Nature Center.
It's called Emily Oaks Nature Center. It's near the intersection of Howard and Skokie Boulevard. It's like behind that dealership there.
Really?
It's on Brummel and near and Knox.
We know that dealership. Oftentimes they have collectible cars outside of that dealership.
Is that like on the southwest corner?
It's actually behind there.
Right, so behind the dealership,
If you take Howard east mm-hmm. to Knox and go north and to Brummel, it's a dead end over there, and you go right in.
Wow.
Probably you can walk along all year round.
You're kidding. Because I probably, my whole life, I've lived in that vicinity and never knew that place existed there.
Yeah.
That's wild.
You're not the only one. You have people getting their car fixed or taking a walk and run right into it. You know?
That's interesting. Wow.
So if you're not working for the Nature Center, are you normally up at this time in the morning?
I'm up late at night, but not quite this late.
Same here. Unless I'm watching Blue Bloods, then I'm up late.
Met me a couple times before. I'm the person that had saw you before you were married, riding on the back of a fair. It was either a camel or an
elephant. You were there?
Yeah.
You were at the King Richard's Fair, because it was on that elephant that I proposed to Johnny.
Yes. That's wild.
Well, every time I see you afterwards, I mentioned I'm the one
Yeah, that was.
And also the election judge at where you vote.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Oh my gosh. I love the fact that we might have been on a camel instead of an elephant.
Yeah. I just turned 75 and now things blending.
You're
a kid.
Let me tell you.
I don't know if you heard Alice, who we talked to earlier, who just hit 106, and I want to have the energy she has now.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, and such good recall, too. In fact, I'm laughing because people are saying, you should make Alice a regular part of your show. I think she's too expensive, to be honest with you. So, anyway, it's a pleasure to meet you. What's on your agenda for Sunday? What are you going to do?
We're visiting some friends who have been out of town, and we were babysitting for their dog while they were in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're having a barbecue in our honor.
Oh, you're gonna bring
that's fun.
We're going up to Round Lake Beach to have for a barbecue. So we're rest. My son and I aren't going to do anything strenuous tomorrow because we've been working so hard. So
yeah. Well, did you keep the dog at your house?
No, we'd drive up there and visit. You know.
Wow.
So we didn't have to do it every day, but
yeah,
we were split it up with other people. But
wow,
I have to ask, what kind of a dog?
Yorkshire Terrier and a crazy one.
A crazy Yorkshire Terrier.
Let me tell you, I grew up in Andersonville. I lived next door to a family that had 7 Yorkies. You have never ever heard a more annoying sound than 7 of them yapping at the same time.
I just got a minute.
Oh, my gosh. I remember saying to my mother, can we just leave? Can we move? I love this neighborhood, but we've got 7. They had 5, and then while I still lived at home, they brought 2 more into the mix.
Actually, that sounds like a lot like The View to me.
Oh, The View? When all the women start talking? Oh, cute.
Oh, wow.
Well, now, you, Miss Peggy, you are going to receive a couple of gifts from us. You're going to get your very own WGN Radio T-shirt. And
that's what I really wanted was that one.
Well, good, because it's the real thing. And you're going to get the much sought after desktop weather station from American Weather Makers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. This has become a very big deal. I always liken it to the days when there was the Seymour Paisen scarf and the Ladybug pendant watch, mm-hmm. where people were like, I've got to have one of those because you couldn't go to the store and buy it. So now it's the Weather Makers Weather Station. It's a pleasure to meet you, Peggy. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Yeah, may I see you around, and thanks a lot for the gift.
Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for being with us through the years.
Hold on, we'll get some information from you off the air.
That was 40 years ago. We were riding on that elephant that...
Whose name was Killer.
Was Killer,
and it was up at the King Richard's Fair.
It was a hot August
day,
and you were wearing leotards and a velvet brocade.
And I didn't
tunic.
Know that I was going to have to wear that outfit when the radio station said, hey, you two want to go up and be the king and queen of the fair? And we said, okay. And we get there, and all of a sudden it's, you got to wear this stuff. What? And ride an elephant? What?
Yes. And you were wearing a big velvet pimp beret, big old beret.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, I was wearing a lot of chiffon. I was wearing a lot of fabulousness. You, on the other hand, hated every minute
of
it.
Yeah, I really did. And I really didn't get in character because even though I had this outfit, I was still wearing my beetle boots and sunglasses. So if you can imagine this sort of a King Richard's tunic and stuff, but I got the beetle boots and I got the sunglasses.
And the burgundy tights. I'll never forget. And you had the skinniest legs. You and Mick Jagger, skinniest legs in town.
This show has gone by really, really fast.
Yes.
Our thanks to the assembled multitude. Thanks to Ron and Gabe and Bob and Julian and you guys for hanging out with us. And also, thanks to our guests. And Steve, we are getting so many terrific
nice
texts about Steve Dawson. And again, his website is Steve Dawson Music. And yes, his music will be a part of the podcast when that is available.
And a real quick mention, we talked about the concert coming up in October with Susie Boggess and a whole bunch of other famous people at the Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66. You can go to our Facebook page and it'll link you right there because people said, well, now that you got my attention, how do I get tickets? And it's probably a good idea to get tickets now because it's at the Rialto Square Theater and it can sell out real fast.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We just beeped over the tone, so we better get out of here. Talk to you next week.